and a Rhode Island school that's fired all its teachers.
We're all being put through hell.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. In a few hours, the grandson of the founder of Toyota will sit down before a House panel for what could be the grilling of his life. Jeff Gilbert of CBS station WWJ reports.
Akio Toyota will give his personal commitment to restoring the trust of his customers. But Dave Cole, who heads the Center for Auto Research, says he will get no break from angry representatives.
You have to realize that in this kind of situation, no matter who you are, it's almost no win. It's kind of the shark circling a wounded seal.
Cole says it's unlikely we will hear anything new that wasn't said in yesterday's hearing.
Well, California Congressman Darrell Issa, the ranking Republican on the committee, says lawmakers have hard questions for Toyota.
We're going to want to see if they live up to even what they're saying in their commercials right now, which is that good companies fix their mistakes, great companies learn from them.
Just a few miles from the scene of the Columbine High School massacre.
I was hoping that it was like a joke or something.
A gunman opened fire at a Littleton, Colorado middle school, wounding two students before he was tackled by math teacher David Banky.
I realized that it was a bolt-action rifle and that he wasn't going to be able to load quickly enough, and so I grabbed him.
Police say the suspect has an arrest record in the state that stretches back to 1996. One day before President Obama's health care reform summit, nearly two dozen prominent health care organizations have released an open letter to Congress. Now, they're urging lawmakers to make sure that there are incentives to provide the highest quality patient care at the most reasonable cost. Jeff Korsmo is an executive director of Mayo Clinic's Health Policy Center.
We really are focused on changing the way we pay, so we don't just pay for more procedures and more tests and more operations and more hospital admissions, which is really what the system pays for today.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Jessup, Maryland.
All right, you want to get started?
Pro-reform marchers will arrive in Washington today from Philadelphia, stopping along the way at places like this, Frank's Diner, to make their pitch to anyone who'll listen.
We need a rational system of health care where the government plays the role it should play, and hospitals and doctors and private insurance companies play the role they should play.
At the counter with a creamed chipped beef breakfast, Charles Vollmerhausen can't stomach the idea of government health care mandates. He has insurance.
Who was going to pay for somebody else's insurance? Evidently, it has to come out of our pockets. They're going to raise our taxes.
That kind of talk makes Brian England bristle. The owner of an auto carrier firm, he says his rates could go up 40% this year.
Doing nothing about the problem is a tax. That's what people don't realize. Doing nothing is a tax.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Jessup, Maryland.
In Central Falls, Rhode Island, half the kids who enter the high school there don't graduate. Try to shake things up, the superintendent has fired all 88 of the school's teachers. History teacher Frank Delbona says it's a devastating blow.
I've given everything I have to these kids. I love these kids. I'm heartbroken.
School officials say some of the teachers could be rehired, but no more than half of them. Figure skating is one of the marquee sports at the Winter Olympics, and as CBS's Steve Futterman reports from Vancouver, it's living up to its billing.
In her Olympic debut, Kim Yuna wowed the judges and the crowd. 78.5, oh, that's the highest ever recorded in a short program.
The overwhelming favorite from South Korea was near flawless, and midway through the competition, she has a huge, nearly 5-point lead. Tomorrow, Kim Yuna will have a chance to wrap up the gold. Along with the cheers, there were tears on ice last night. Canadian skater Joanie Rochette courageously performed just 2 days after her mother suddenly died here.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplow.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Delivery by March 1st, 2010.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
By the way, AM760.net.
No intellectual giant.
I enjoyed his company. He had a warmth and brash humor that made up for his constant references to a former L.A. life. The retinue of women who supposedly still called him long distance every night. His past football exploits. The celebrities he knew.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Out of many, we are one. That while we breathe, we hope. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
Well, howdy. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press today on the Bill Press Radio Show, Wednesday, February 24th. Thank you all for joining me. Bill will be back tomorrow. He's down in Florida at the North American Iron Workers Labor Management Conference. Talking to our good friends, the laborers down there, the iron workers. So, we're the most union-friendly show on the air, Dan. That's a fact.
That is.
Bill's down there addressing them in Orlando, Florida. He'll be back tomorrow, so I appreciate the opportunity to sit in, and thank you for joining me. 866-55-PRESS is our phone number, 866-557-7377. Our website, by the way, billpressshow.com, and oh, what a website it is. We have all kinds of fun stuff up there. In our press box, we have Whip Congress. It's a letter to Harry Reid signed by 22 senators pushing for the public option, even if we have to use reconciliation. So go check that out, and if your senator is not on the list, call them and let them know and ask them why they aren't on the list. That's up at BillPressShow.com. We also have a free podcast, don't cost nothing. Senator Jeff Merkley was on the show yesterday talking about health reform and the jobs bill. He joined us yesterday. You can go download that for free. And also buy yourself a nice big bag of Bill's Brew. Not White Lightning, by the way. Not moonshine. It's coffee, when I say brew, is what I mean. It's the only American-grown, union-grown coffee that you could buy in this country. Bill's Brew, grown by the great people at USA Coffee Company. And a portion of the sales go to Partners of the Americas, a very good organization that works with connecting people in different communities around the world to change lives. Partners.net is their website. BillPressShow.com is our website to buy the coffee. I'm telling you, Dan, I'm getting this whole pitchman thing down.
Yeah.
Having to sell, you see.
The next Billy Mays.
There's one thing. Well, without the Coke problem. But I'm Peter Ogburn. Welcome to the Bill Press Show.
Anybody, do you want to drink coffee?
Anybody like to party? Anybody got any Coke? No. 9 minutes past the hour. Running the board for you today is Dan Henning. Mr. Henning, good morning, sir. How are you?
I am great. Good morning. Good morning.
Good. Nice to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Stevie Lee Webb. Nice to see you, sir.
All right, Mel Cox Sparrow.
My God,
what?
Your Britishisms kill me.
They're getting
worse.
I'm after the gecko's job, to be honest. Gets all my work, that little green.
You could have his job. You people ask us all the time. They email the voice of the Geico commercials is screening our calls.
There you go.
Hey, I just wanted just a quick shout out here to a very important member of the Bill Press team, Justin Winnick, our buddy up at AM 950 KTNF in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome a new baby girl yesterday, Anna Elizabeth Winnick. So congratulations, Justin and wife. I know that he has another little daughter. He's getting outnumbered, man. You got two daughters, and now you got the wife. It's like me in my house. I got two boys, and my wife just every day looks at us like we're cavemen. Just goes, I'm outnumbered. I'm completely outnumbered. So anyway, welcome to the world, Anna Elizabeth Winnick. Justin's a very important part of the Bill Press team up in Minneapolis. Oh, and speaking of the Bill Press family, as we continue to grow, we have a new affiliate, KIST in Santa Barbara, California, Progressive Talk 1490. Thank you so much for listening. If you're up at this hour, you're either a thinker or a drinker, and either way, we respect you, and thank you for listening. 10 minutes past the hour. Hey, this is an exciting story. David Curley from ABC News gives us the news about women serving in the Navy and riding on submarines.
ABC News has learned that the Navy has decided it is time to allow women on submarines. It went to the Secretary of Defense and said, this is what we want to do. On Friday, Robert Gates signed a letter, sent it up to Congress on Monday saying it's time to allow women on submarines. Congress has 30 days to give up a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
I'm amazed that women haven't been able to ride on submarines yet.
Yeah, no.
I don't really know what the logic is there. I guess you have mixed company and tight quarters, if you will, but...
From what I understand, with this new policy, they're only going to start with officers because the submarine, they put so many crew members on these submarines, they do what's called hot bunking. So while...
Look at you with the
yeah,
right,
hot so bunking. While the one crew is working, the other crew is asleep in the same bed.
Oh, sure.
And then they come in and swap and share the bed.
That makes sense.
And they, I guess, don't want to do that with women yet, I suppose.
I guess I get that logic.
Officers, however, have their own quarters.
Sure.
So
okay.
A female officer would have her own bedroom.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Good. Look, fine. A woman can drive a submarine. I got no problem with that.
A yellow submarine?
And it's gone.
And, you know, Dan, you were really getting there with me on the whole comedy thing. You know, comedy's just not for everybody. Hey, Stevie,
yes,
so the Olympic update. So,
yes,
so the British still have one medal, right?
Yep, that is absolutely correct. The British have.
You know damn well I'm...
Sorry, I'm British. You know...
There we go. Yes,
there we go. Let's save that, shall we? Grand total of 0 bronze.
Yes.
0 silver. And 1 gold.
In the skeleton, right?
In the skeleton. Amy Williams in the skeleton. Our first gold in Winter Olympics single in 30 years.
I was just watching, by the way, the speed skater, this Dutch speed skater.
Yes.
This is the craziest story. So this guy, this Dutch speed skater, he's just kicking ass, right? And he's on track to just, you know, get the gold here. So his idiot coach shows him, switch lanes. You need to switch lanes, which apparently when you're speed skating, you get these different lanes. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing the solo thing, you can switch between the two different lanes. So his coach goes, switch lanes, switch lanes. So the guy switches lanes. His coach tells him to switch lanes. Except he couldn't switch lanes.
Oh.
It was against the rules to switch lanes that early in the heat. And so he was disqualified.
Ugh.
The footage, by the way, of this coach coming over to him is like, comes over and puts his hand on his back, like, it's okay, buddy. This speed skater, just get away from me. Pushes him off.
Really?
Goes over and sits down and just sulks. I mean, I can't blame the guy.
But the kid's like 23, so he throws
it. Is he only 23?
He's only 23.
You know what,
he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
He's already won a couple of golds.
You know what?
So he throws a hissy fit.
I don't feel so bad for him.
Exactly.
If he's 23 and he's got that kind of money, you know what? This is a good life lesson. Never listen to anybody. and he'll have another chance to win another gold in 4 years. 27 isn't that old.
Exactly.
To win a gold medal. Anyway, 14 minutes past the hour. It is the Bill Press Show, hosted by Peter Ogburn today. I thank Bill for letting me sit in. We got a big hour coming up. One of our favorite guests, speaking of Minneapolis, Minnesota, Congressman Keith Ellison from the great state of Minnesota will be joining us, along with sports psychologist Paul Scheinberg. He'll be breaking down the Tiger Woods situation and also some Olympic stuff for us. But first...
This is the Full
Dan.
Court Press.
Yeah, some other headlines making news on this fine Wednesday morning. Charlie Sheen taking a break from his hit 2.5 Men TV show to enter rehab voluntarily. The AP says his publicist gave no reason for the actor to go into a facility, simply calling it a, quote, preventative measure. CBS is halting production of the show until further notice. Sheen, of course, arrested Christmas Day for that fight with his wife.
I'm surprised this guy still gets work from anybody. I mean, after the history that he's had, I mean, you're insane to hire him for anything. I wouldn't hire that guy to mow my lawn.
Bobby Knight no longer has the most wins in NCAA history.
Wow.
Philadelphia University men's basketball coach Herb Magee got his 903rd career victory yesterday. He's coached the Division II team for 43 years. Bobby Knight had 902 wins, three national championships with three different teams.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
I wouldn't want to hear what Bobby Knight had to say about that. Guys get kind of a foul mouth.
And not too far away from this year's tax filing deadline. And while 39% of people say they're honest on their returns because of audit fears.
39%?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
1 in 8 in a new IRS poll say it's okay to cheat on your taxes.
Wow, that's a... Don't cheat on your taxes. It will only bite you in the ass. That's the only advice I can tell you. Then again, I keep all my money in a mayonnaise jar under the bed. So I'm not exactly the type of person to look to for financial advice. 16 minutes past the hour. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press today. Thank you so much for joining us. I love days like this when we just see how dumb Republicans can be. And I guess that's the theme of this segment, if we have an overall theme. I mean, it's just, you know, we look around at audio and stories and things like that over the, from show to show. And my favorite story is this Scott Brown story. So Scott Brown came to Washington. He's in Ted Kennedy's old seat. And Scott Brown votes for the jobs bill. Breaks with Republicans. He's one of five Republicans that votes for the jobs bill. And boy, oh boy, do people go absolutely crazy when this happens. First of all, let's hear from Scott Brown himself. He commented on the fact that he's an independent voice.
I told people I'd come down here to be an independent voice, not only for Massachusetts, but to try to get things moving here in Washington.
All right, so we get that, right? He ran as an independent. He ran away from the Republican thing. But when he broke with Republicans on this jobs bill, I have here a printout of his Facebook page, which, by the way, if you try and go there now, this post has been deleted because he's so embarrassed of how many people lashed out against him. So Scott Brown, you know, says on this Facebook page, hey, just voted for the jobs bill. His comments read like this. Wow, Scott, after all the support I threw behind you, building freaking highways is going to put the average American back to work. You've already turned out to be just as big of an idiot as Obama. Enjoy your one term as senator. What a jackass you turned out to be. Another Facebooker writes in, this is a betrayal. Very, very disappointing. Another person writes in, boy, that was a fast about face. I thought you were going to lead, not follow. Another person writes in, disappointed, same old, same old. And people are just livid with Scott Brown because he dared break with the Republican Party. You know what I say? Good for Scott Brown. You know, this is not the best piece of legislation, by the way, to break ranks with. And it's not like he's going to break ranks over health care. It was a bill that not many people like, frankly. But, I mean, the idea that his base has just hit the skids right into the wall, and they're just, I can't believe he voted this way. I can't believe he's betraying us. It's just, it's great. I just love it. I love it when they freak out like this. Okay, so that's one story. Next story, Glenn Beck goes to CPAC to give the big Republican keynote. Basically, it's basically the state of the Republican Party, right? It's their sort of bizarro state of the union, right? And they get to talk about how things are going. And Glenn Beck spends most of the speech talking about how dysfunctional the Republican Party is, how they all need to get on the same page, and he doesn't know who he's supporting anymore, and really very critical. So it's a very critical eye to the Republican Party. Well, Mark Levin, radio talk show host, was not very happy about that and lashed out at Glenn Beck on his radio show.
If your kid's acting like the class clown, but he wants to be taken seriously, you pull your kid aside and you say, if you want to be taken seriously, then act seriously and stop acting like a clown. That's always good advice, don't you think? Decide what you are. A circus clown, self-identified, or a thoughtful and wise person. It's hard to be both. You can't wear the clown nose and not wear the clown nose at the same time. Just a suggestion.
Boy, he's exciting, isn't he? I mean, that guy's got a radio show. I mean, look, I mean, look, I'm the fill-in, and but, I mean,
this guy's a clown. This guy's a clown. He doesn't know what he wants to be.
I mean, it's just horrible. But what I love is, Glenn Beck, I mean, you could argue, all right, Rush Limbaugh is certainly the voice of the Republican Party. He's certainly the biggest talk radio host in the country. Number two, Glenn Beck. And he's certainly the king of Fox News these days. And you've got one of the biggest right-wing talk radio hosts, Mark Levin. He's certainly in the top five. Bashing Glenn Beck now. It's just this inner party fighting just makes me so happy. It's just, it's sort of, you know, we hear all this stuff about voter anger and they might be turning against Republicans or turning against Democrats because they're in office. Okay, fine. But this little ray of hope, boy, I just love it. I just love to hear this kind of stuff going on. Now, on top of all that, yesterday we played this clip, but I just have to play it again because it backs up something that a point that I made last week when I was filling in, and a lot of people gave me grief about it. But when I said that the Republicans were going to embrace this Joe the Pilot, this guy that flew the plane to the IRS building as a hero, and that they condone this type of behavior, think I was kidding around? Here's Steve King, Republican from Iowa.
It's sad that the incident happened down in Texas, but by the same token, the IRS is an agency that's unnecessary. And when it is over and we abolish the IRS, it'll be a happy day for all Americans.
What a jackass. What a jackass. That just blows me away. Sounds like he's condoning it. By the way, we found out the gentleman that passed away, one of the gentlemen that passed away at the IRS office, Vernon Hunter, 67 years old. Vietnam veteran, patriot. You want to talk about a real patriot who stood up for his country and fought for it? It's this guy, not this jackass that flew a plane into a building, not the jackass Steve King that tried to defend him. 866-55-PRESS is my phone number, 866-557-7377. Peter Ogburn, sitting in for Bill Press today. We'll be right back.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that fraction of what you owe with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Sears, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-695-26. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-695-26. That's 1-800-695-26. 1-800-695-26.
It's the dawning of a new day. For American business, the future looks brighter, and it's all because of you. Your ideas, your energy, and your dreams are the most precious resources we have. And OfficeMax has the products and services you need to help make your dreams come true. OfficeMax, work with us.
Right now at OfficeMax, save up to $100 on all Brother printers. Certain restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Whatever your business card says, you're in the business of you, and only you know where you want that business to go. DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management offers 15 different MBA concentrations designed to match both the realities of today's business world and your career ambitions. Keller Graduate School of Management. Over 80 nations and online. Discover how to grow the business of you at keller.edu. Certified to operate by CHEV in New York. DeVry University operates as DeVry College of New York.
It's quite a proposition when you think about it. You contact GEICO and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. 15 minutes, simple as that. Something they've been doing for over 70 years. You want car insurance and you want extra money in your wallet, done and done. Now not only do you have some nice car insurance, you've got plenty of money to spend on some tasty biscuits. Or flowers for your mum. Or whatever it is you fancy.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And now, two more facts you didn't know. Fact 1. There are no poisonous snakes in Maine. Fact 2. GEICO can also help you with renter's insurance. And that's important, because when you rent, the building itself may be insured, but your possessions are not. So GEICO can help you make sure you're really covered. For all the details, visit GEICO.com. No poisonous snakes. On a personal note, I've just decided I'm moving to Maine.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
It is the Bill Press Show. However, I am not Bill Press. I am Peter Ogburn, and I am sitting in for Bill Press. Just today, he'll be back tomorrow. He's down in Florida talking to the North American Iron Workers at their labor management conference. We're ready to have him back. Which, by the way, I can't believe it. More snow? More snow? We might be getting more snow tonight? Which is fine, because, I mean, I'm okay with it as long as we just get a little bit, because the snow outside is just sort of gross and brown and yucky, so. By the way, new story here. You'll see Fox News already talked about this today. The United States is building a new embassy in London. We're going to have our new American embassy over there. I'll just read the story. It's going to cost $1 billion. The decision to abandon their current site came after a prolonged battle with residents because of all the security measures that had been demanded after September 11th. More than 100 residents took out a full-page ad. The new embassy is located in the The new embassy on a former industrial site behind Battersea Power Station, known for its gay clubs, will be designed by a Philadelphia architect. Anybody hear that? Does anybody? That's Larry Craig angling to be the new ambassador to Britain. Prime location, guys. Hey, look, great. I mean, look, all we need is a little more happiness in the world. And I don't know that area. Stevie, do you know that area?
Not personally, but I know of it.
All right.
Good
answer. Anyway, Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press. Very exciting last half of the hour. Coming up here in mere moments, we'll be talking to Keith Ellison, congressman from Minnesota, on the healthcare summit. And we might ask him about that jobs bill, too. And we'll also be joined by Paul Scheinberg, sports psychologist on Tiger Woods, y'all. We'll be back.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Whatever your business card says, you're in the business of you, and only you know where you want that business to go. DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management offers 15 different MBA concentrations designed to match both the realities of today's business world and your career ambitions. Keller Graduate School of Management, over 85 locations and online. Discover how to grow the business of you at keller.edu. Certified to operate by Chef in New York. DeVry University operates as DeVry College of New York.
With my dry eyes, it felt like a sandstorm in my eyes, and I knew it could lead to eye health issues, so it was hard to focus on anything else. But now I've opened my eyes to Clear Eyes.
Mild, moderate, or severely dry eyes? There's a Clear Eyes brand tears product for you. Each Clear Eyes product bathes eyes with extra moisturizers that restore a healthy, moist environment the way nature intended, for up to 8 hours of soothing comfort.
I finally see a solution.
Clear Eyes tears products for eyes the way nature intended. Uses directed.
Do you really think all batteries are the same? Or do you think one stands out from the rest?
the Duracell Copper Top. And while you get what you pay for, usually holds true. Now with Duracell, you can actually get more than you pay for. Because now the most popular packs of our AA and AAAs give you 20% more batteries for the same price. After all, when it comes to good value, it just has to work. Always reliable, always efficient. Duracell Smart Power. Trusted everywhere.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered prices throughout the store on items pros use the most. Right now, instantly save $50 to $250 when you spend $500 or more on any in-stock bathroom products. Savings like that can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
Mission to record the call. They will find a way to use it against you. For more tips on what to do after an accident, find me at O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. That's O'Sullivan-Law-Firm.com. Or call me at 303-388-5304.
I just love being at a 24-hour coffee center at 3 in the morning. So many strange and wonderful people to avoid. I initially ventured in here to print hundreds of flyers to promote my restaurant. Then it hit me. Flyers? Why not call Dex One and get a real marketing plan? So I called 1-877-4-DEX-NOW, and now I'm talking to a Dex One marketing consultant named...
Hi, this is Steve.
So can you make it easy for customers to find my restaurant?
Absolutely. At Dex One, we can design a marketing plan as unique as your business, one with print and online advertising.
Cool.
Our integrated plan even features mobile search, so you can attract customers on the go, all for less than the cost of your flyers. So no more 24-hour copy places.
Imagine a world without paper cuts or toner stains.
Sure.
Dex One. Marketing solutions. Business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4-DEX-NOW.
I want to leave them a brighter day.
Save paper and the world by printing on both sides. Then recycle so it never reaches a landfill.
Get more tips at am760.net. Keyword green. Sponsored by Clorox Greenworks.
Every day, somewhere in the world, someone face jumps off a building or a mountain peak. At Maverick, surfers brave 60-foot faces to ride the world's largest waves. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who rappel out of helicopters, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, and fly through walls of fire, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
Listen to AM 760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at am760.net.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. This is the Bill Press Show.
This is the Bill Press Show. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press today. Wednesday, February 14th. February 24th. I don't know why I'm so hung up on the 14th. February 24th. Sorry. I love Valentine's Day so much. This is just a testament as to how much I love my wife, Stevie. You know that's true.
It's so romantic.
Anyway, thank you for joining us. 866-55-PRESS is our phone number, 866-557-7377. We'll be joined in mere moments by Congressman Keith Ellison from Minnesota. One thing I want to ask about is this idea of reconciliation. You know, Harry Reid has come out and finally shown some backbone on this. You know, we've got this healthcare summit today. Up at our website, BillPressShow.com, we have a letter put on by the people at whipcongress.com, and we link right to it from the BillPressShow.com in the press box. And 23 senators have now signed on asking Harry Reid to please push for the public plan option through reconciliation. So it's refreshing to see that Harry Reid is now finally kind of ready to say, all right, look, the Republicans aren't willing to play ball. You know, we'll play hardball. I'm totally fine with that. I have no problem with him pushing reconciliation. I think that's just fine. 866-55-PRESS is our phone number if you want to give us a call about that, or send us an email at billpressshow.com. And right now we're lucky enough to be joined by the congressman from the great state of Minnesota, Congressman Keith Ellison. Congressman, how you doing?
Hey, man, I couldn't be better. I just ducked out of a populist caucus meeting where we were talking about health care, jobs, and talking about the urgency of a real push to make the American average American worker the real VIP of the American economy and not the CEO, you know. It's time to really, really refocus our economic priorities in this country, and that's what I've been talking about all morning.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you stepping out of the meeting to join us, especially me as a second-string host. You know, I figured I'd go to a real radio guy, you know, like you, to help me out with this. So I appreciate
it, my friend.
I appreciate it. Well, let's start with the healthcare summit. It's going to be tomorrow. As I mentioned a couple of times, I've got my popcorn ready to pop. I'm going to sit down and watch the whole darn thing.
Good.
My question to you is, do you think that we've given the Republicans enough chances to come play ball on health care? Or is it worth saying, okay, look, this is the last, final, no kidding, we're really not playing this time, chance to come together and work with us on this?
Well, absolutely. We've given them more than enough chances. And, in fact, they know that if Democrats begin an irreversible process of change with regard to health care for Americans, that they will be relegated to minority for a generation. And therefore, they have stood against reform. The fact is they take their orders from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which has the interests of only the biggest businesses in America at heart. Don't care about small businesses, don't care about medium-sized businesses. And so they are doing, they're doing the bidding of the people there who send them to Congress, and they're not going to back down. I mean, the fact is, a small, actually even tiny group of people make an inordinate amount of money based on the status quo, and they're going to try to keep it as it is. And that's why every time Democrats propose something, the Republican response is anything we may try to do will only make everything worse. Of course, that's false. Let me remind you that only 22 Republicans voted for Medicare in 1965, and now they act like they invented the program.
Right.
And so, I mean, you're talking about people who are just corporate flunkies, and they're not going to do anything other than stand up for the enormously large healthcare insurance companies. And so, they've had enough chances to be involved if they wanted to be. They don't want to be. That's why they never have anything constructive to say other than, let's scrap the bill and start all over again.
Yeah,
of course they'd love us to do that.
Yeah. By the way, we talk about, you know, the Republicans want to come and they want to play and they want to give their ideas. And as you said, this is John Boehner's idea of what he thinks we ought to do with health care.
I would hope that the president would heed our call. Let's scrap the bill.
Scrap it.
Let's begin to work on common sense steps that will make our current system better.
Is that the best they have to offer?
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, everybody jumped on Alan Grayson's case when he said their program was die soon, and people were offended and they were shocked and dismayed. But when have they proven that Grayson was wrong about their program?
Right.
Never. Not at one point have they ever come up with anything approaching a constructive program. Now, they did release a program which the CBO said would cover about 3 million people, more than are covered now. Wouldn't do anything for affordability, wouldn't do anything for access to care. So the fact is, let's face it, they had from 2000 to 2006 where they had the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the White House, and they did nothing.
Yeah.
They did nothing for health care. They did nothing for financial reform. They did nothing for jobs. In fact, job wages declined during that period. These people are not good at the economy unless you're one of the very, very elite in America. And it's time for Americans to say, hey, we're up against tough, highly determined, extremely avaricious and greedy people. And if the progressive movement's going to move forward, we got to get as tough as they are.
Yeah, you know, a caller made that point earlier, that, you know, we've got all these Republicans saying, listen to some of our ideas. You need to, you know, I mean, they've had all this time, the past 8 years, and as you said, 6 years with the Republican Congress, to get this done. And nothing happened. I mean, so why should we believe it now?
Because they don't want to. They just don't want to. And I'm going to tell you this, you know, I believe in Barack Obama. I think he's a good president. I think he's been enormously successful despite some of the press reports. But on this thing, I wish that he would, you know, show that not only is he smart, because we all know he's smart, but that he's actually tough.
Yeah.
And I want to see some toughness out of the president, because he's been kind of tough on us progressives, you know, telling us what we got to put up with.
Right.
But he hasn't faced the people. So he's been tough on the people who pounded sign for him and busted knuckle for him to get him elected. But he hasn't shown very much toughness toward these Republicans who absolutely eat, drink, and sleep. Trying to defeat him and thwart his every effort.
So,
he keeps on reaching out to them, and we need him to show some toughness to the people who are actually trying to defeat his program.
So the president put out his version of what he would like a health care bill to look like. How is it?
C-.
Okay.
C-. It calls for state exchanges, not national exchange, which clearly would not be saving as much money. It doesn't have a public option, even though we got now 23 senators who signed a letter saying, I want a public option. One of my senators in the state of Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, hasn't signed the letter, but she has said that she would vote for a public option through the means of reconciliation. So you probably have a lot of senators who haven't signed up who would vote for it. And, you know, my point is, you know, why not just throw the ball down the field, man? You know, look, you know, we got what we need. We're going to use reconciliation now. So he needs to go get 51 senators. That's what President Barack Obama needs to be doing. And, you know, some people say, oh, something as big as health care, we shouldn't use these kind of tools like reconciliation to get it. Well, look, LBJ did not go through the Judiciary Committee to pass the Civil Rights Bill of 1964.
Right.
He went around those scrubs because he knew they were all against it.
Right.
And he went to the Rules Committee and then to the floor. And that's what you got to do when you have people who are intractably committed to the status quo. You just got to go on around them. I'd like Obama to read some LBJ and say, look, here's how you play hardball with some hard heads. You know, you got to get tough as they are. And you got to understand that they're not on your team, and you're not going to charm them into supporting your program.
Listeners to the Bill Press Show will recognize one of the phrases that Bill uses often is more LBJ, less Gandhi out of the president.
The fact is that Bill Press is a wise man for a reason, and that's why he's saying, look, we need to see some toughness. We need to see some real commitment and some results-oriented action. So, look, I said the president's proposal is a C-. Here's the unfortunate situation. It's hard for progressives to swallow, but, you know, it's the reality. We cannot have engaged the public imagination on health care for a year and then not pass anything.
Yep.
So we're put in a position of where, you know, we may have to just, you know, swallow hard and vote for it. But the fact is, the fat lady hasn't sung yet. So we can fight and get that public option in there. We can make this bill better. To me, it's disappointing that Barack Obama has to be dragged along to real progressive change.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be. You know, he's better than McCain.
That's something to always point to. We could have had the alternative.
Right.
Hey, Congressman, we got to scoot. We're right up against the clock, but. Take care, okay? I appreciate you joining us.
You got it.
See ya. Bye-bye. It's the Bill Press Show. Peter Ogburn sitting in for Bill Press. Today we'll be right back with Paul Scheinberg, sports psychologist.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
With With me today is motorcycle owner Dan. Like most people, Dan is looking for ways to save money. He tries to save on gas by roller skating to the grocery store.
It's hard carrying all those bags.
He uses a hand crank radio.
It's a good workout.
And he even cooks by candle heat.
The scented ones give great flavor.
But you don't have to be like Dan, because Geico makes it easy to save on motorcycle insurance. To see how much you could save, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-442-9253.
Can I get your name? Next. Can I get your name?
The coffee house. The lines. The lingo. The cost. Why not try a better way and add your flavor with Coffee Mate? With 25 delicious flavors to choose from, like Italian sweet cream and vanilla caramel, all at a fraction of the cost of the coffee house, the possibilities are endless. So add your flavor with Coffee Mate Creamer from Nestle.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text speakup to 411-247.
Denver, John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and preserve the environment? Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that uses blown-in insulation to reduce your energy usage. Best Way Insulation was trusted with re-insulating the Governor's Mansion and will provide the same great service to AM 760 listeners. Ask the experts at Best Way Insulation about federal tax credits and energy company rebates available to customers in Colorado. Go to bestwayinsulation.com to go green and save green. That's bestwayinsulation.com.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered prices throughout the store on items pros use the most. Right now, instantly save $50 to $250 when you spend $500 or more on any in-stock bathroom products. Savings like that can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
Zone. Has your engine lost some of its spark? It could be worn out plugs.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You can change them yourself and save. And AutoZone is here to help. Right now, save $1 each on your choice of Bosch Platinum Plus, Platinum Plus 2, or Platinum Plus 4 spark plugs after mail-in rebate. Limit 16. See store for details. So get the spark back in your engine and keep going strong.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Welcome to the Bill Press Show. Nice choice of music, Dan. We're talking to a psychologist who's playing manic depression.
Sorry.
I believe the accepted term now is bipolar disorder. That's very insensitive of you. Dr. Paul Scheinberg joins us on the Bill Press Show. Peter Ogburn sitting in. Dr. Scheinberg, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Peter. I'm fine.
Good, good. Renowned sports psychologist. We have a link up to your website at BillPressShow.com, by the way, if anyone wants to go check out the good work you've been doing. I want to start with Tiger Woods.
All right.
We all watched the press conference, or if you could call it a press conference, the address by Tiger Woods on Friday. I'm sure you watched it. What were you thinking as you were watching this speech?
Well, I was thinking about the fact that it was really a good idea for him to orchestrate the whatever you call it, not press conference, because it would have become a food fight. But besides that, I think that I was watching for his tone and his message, and I had a number of thoughts as he was going through it, and whether he was really present in the sense of emotionally and cognitively present as he was talking. So the reactions I had were, for the most part, positive, with one major caveat, which is these are words, And the only thing that's really going to make it clear whether he's going through any significant changes or not is whatever his actions are from here on.
Right.
So, because people can always talk a good game, you know that. The things that stood out for me was, one, that he was not going immediately back to the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that that was critically important for him to get across. I think it was a positive statement that he's not just rushing back to do his typical thing, which is to grab his clubs and hide behind golf. Two, that he was leaving right after the talk to go back to rehab.
More therapy, right.
Exactly. Because that indicated to me that he's aware that this is a really significant problem. This is probably a long struggle for him. Like with most, in quotes, addictions, there's usually a number of things that are driving it besides the behavior itself.
Well, yeah, let me just, for 1 minute, just to, because we're all talking about, or what Tiger's talking about, is sexual addiction. He's being treated for sexual addiction, which a lot of guys listen to and say, you know, hey, I'm a guy, I'm addicted to sex. But it's much deeper than that. It has less to do with the actual sex and more about the control, right?
Well, it has to do with, any addiction, it has to do with the ability to change moods. It has to do with the fact how much destruction is done by a particular kind of behavior. So there are a number of factors that make give the situation the opportunity to be called an addiction. So even women might not believe that. Oh, here's another guy. He's just, you know, screwing around, if you'll excuse the expression. And, you know, now he's going to call it an addiction.
Right.
Or, you know, it's sort of like a criminal kind of making up, like, I had these problems, you know, and who believes it and so on. So, but I believe that actually the beginnings of the explosion of his addictive behavior occurred shortly after the death of his father.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's probably some life circumstances that contributed to the eventual explosion of this.
Well,
not that he wasn't doing it at all before, but I think
right.
it, you know, came to a head then.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that clearly had issues with his father. His dad had him out on the golf course as soon as he could walk and pushed him and pushed him and pushed him and told everybody he was going to be the greatest golfer in the world. Talk about pressure from your father.
Oh, boy. And you could see it on his face, the intensity of his focus on his son. I mean, just watching it, I felt like I wanted to go back to my room and hide.
Yeah.
But this guy stood with it, stayed with it, and evidently had some really loving feelings for his father. He didn't just see him as a mean, cruel guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me a little bit. And by the way, my take on it is he looked like a little kid up there when he was giving his speech, which was sort of weird, if you ask me. But let me ask about
which is a positive sign. It means that some of the defenses, by the way, are maybe beginning to break down.
Oh, okay. Now, let me ask you this about, you know, golf is such a sport of concentration. It's not so much about the athleticism. What is his mind going to be when he gets back? Or better question for you, maybe, is Dr. Paul Scheinberg, sports psychologist, where should his mind be?
Well, where should his mind be is obviously in the midst of the here and now of him addressing a golf ball and figuring out where he wants to place it. The question is he going to be able to maintain that kind of focus that's required to be so successful?
Yeah.
You and I are maybe, I shouldn't speak for you, obviously, if I was in the midst of the first time he goes out there and the media hoopla and people screaming out all sorts of stuff, and obviously we'd be enormously distracted. In fact, somebody was telling me, what would happen if a woman in the crowd, you know, pulls up her blouse?
Oh, my God.
Something, you know, I mean, will he lose it and run into the, I mean, it was a joke, but will
sure.
he run into the crowd? But these kind of distractions are going to be there. But that's his forte.
Yeah.
He is the master of focus. In terms of being on the golf course.
Yeah.
He may not be in his personal life sometimes so much.
Right.
But on the golf course, everything else really disappears. And other players have attested to that, you know, he doesn't even notice that there's even any competition around him. He's so focused on himself.
Well, let me just jump in because we're right up against the clock. And I just have to say, look, I'm going to be watching it. I know you're going to be watching it. I'm going to be part of that media hoopla. Dr. Paul Scheinberg, thank you so, so much for joining us. We've got a link up to the website, paulscheinberg.com. Thanks again, okay?
Oh, you're welcome, Peter.
Take care, Doctor. Bill Press Show.
The Bill Press Show continues.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Good morning. What can I get for you?
Can I get a double suck mocha latte, please?
I don't think we make those here.
Really? All right, how about a succuccino?
I'm sorry. We don't really...
Can you just try, please?
Okay, 1 minute.
Wow, that even sounds sucky.
When you're quitting smoking, coffee without a cigarette sucks. Nicorette makes it suck less, doubling your chances of success. Learn more at Nicorette.com. Use as directed. Individual results may vary. Support program increases chances of success.
So, what would you do if you were Miss Northern Hemisphere?
If I could change one thing in the world, I would build lots of La Quinta Inns and Suites. They would have new, inviting lobbies and thousands of new, refreshing rooms. They'd be even better than before!
But La Quinta already did that.
I love La Quinta and clouds.
Wake up on the bright side at La Quinta Inns and Suites. Book now at LQ.com or 800-SLEEP-LQ.
La Quinta.
From Consumer Reports, Automotive Satisfaction. I'm Maurice Sprance. The Dodge Challenger, a throwback muscle car, is the most satisfying car to own, according to Consumer Reports' latest survey. 92% of owners say they would definitely buy the car again. The Challenger displaces the Toyota Prius, which earned the top spot for 5 straight years. But will the Challenger remain as pleasing once the new car smell fades? Many cars make the list when new, only to drop off once the novelty wears off. Our survey respondents loved sporty cars, hybrids, and higher-end sedans. Together, these categories account for 26 of the 38 cars rated most satisfying. 3 of the 6 family cars that made our list were hybrids, the Ford Fusion, the Prius, and the Toyota Camry Hybrid, as were the only small SUVs on the list, the front-wheel drive Ford Escape and Mercury Mariner Hybrids. The Fusion Hybrid and the base Chevrolet Corvette round out the survey's top 3 spots, edging out the Prius, the Corvette Z06, and the Mini Cooper Clubman. Lowest ranked, scoring a mere 37%, was the 4-cylinder Chrysler Sebring, followed closely by the Dodge Nitro and Pontiac Torrent. Overall, though, American cars made our list more so than in the recent past, with a success rate similar to that of the Japanese and Korean automakers. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
With video games, I'm often choosing between what my kids want and what I think is best for them.
Hey, Mom, how about this one?
Rated T for teen with violence and suggestive themes. Let me check the rating summary. Frenetic combat, cries of pain, female warlords exposed cleavage.
Maybe the other one's better.
The rating summaries are free. Use them, and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to ESRB.org.
Sirota, mornings at 7. Mario, afternoons at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
It's the Bill Press Show. Peter Ogren sitting in for Bill Press. We've had some fun today. I appreciate you all tuning in. And what a day it's going to be, by the way. First of all, D.C. might be getting more friggin' snow, but we'll all be here. The head of Toyota, Mr. Toyota, comes to Capitol Hill today. He's going to testify. And Bill Press is back tomorrow. And, boy, I got to tell you, I know he'll have a thing or two to say about the health care summit. We'll preview that for you tomorrow and much more. Come back and join us tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Let's scrap the bill.
This is the theme to Forever Lovers, the movie I wanted to see. This is the theme to Hillbilly Hamsters, a big hit with kids. I searched online. I couldn't find the showtimes. It was the only other movie playing. How bad could it be? Very, very bad.
Yahoo Search delivers movie trailers, reviews, showtimes, theater info, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Yahoo!
1 in 780 million. The odds of this professional golfer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Turn to the left. Get AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. A San Diego man who lost two cousins when a runaway Lexus crashed wants Toyota to come clean.
We just want to know the truth, plain and simple.
A hearing that begins 2 hours from now may not shed new light on Toyota's safety problems, but CBS's Jeff Gilbert tells us it's sure to generate lots of heat for the company's Japanese president.
Akio Toyota will give his personal commitment to restoring the trust of his customers. But Dave Cole, who heads the Center for Auto Research, says he will get no break from angry representatives.
You have to realize that in this kind of situation, no matter who you are, it's almost no win. It's kind of the shark circling a wounded seal.
Cole says it's unlikely we will hear anything new that wasn't said in yesterday's hearing.
A plow driver in Oakland, New Jersey, says the winter storm that's moving up the East Coast is bad enough.
Watch out for the slush. The slush gets underneath the tires and you're going to start sliding.
But this could be just a warm-up for some real foul weather tomorrow and Friday. CBS News meteorologist George Cullen tells us the next blow could be a mega storm. A heartwarming story of Haitian orphans who found new homes in Pennsylvania is taking some twists and turns. Live to CBS's Steve Kathan, what's the latest?
Well, plenty of new questions about one of the most encouraging post-earthquake events.
I'm so proud to bring these kids back to Pittsburgh.
She helped bring 54 Haitian children here. Now, weeks later, reports say a dozen of the kids were not in the process of being adopted and might not be orphans. They're at a Pittsburgh juvenile center, while the rest are with their new families. Officials are trying to figure if they have relatives in Haiti willing or able to care for them. Frank?
The Central Falls, Rhode Island school district's taking extreme action to help failing students. CBS's Kim Tunnicliffe has that.
High school teachers voiced their displeasure after trustees fired all 88 of them. Superintendent Fran Gallo says it was a necessary move since the high school has been chronically low performing.
The key is really 52% that don't graduate. That's unacceptable.
But this history teacher says he and his colleagues are being made scapegoats for the problems at the high school.
I've given everything I have to these kids. I love these kids. I'm heartbroken.
Kim Tunnicliffe, CBS News, Rhode Island.
It's so hard to find a job you think people would do everything they could to make a good first impression when they get an interview, but you'd be wrong.
People are going into interviews wearing flip-flops with their business suit or coming on to the interviewer.
Michael Irwin's company, CareerBuilder, surveyed 2,700 hiring managers and found that more than half the job applicants dress or behave in ways that are sure to leave a bad impression. The government's considering cockpit voice recorders to monitor pilots and make sure they're paying attention during a flight. Former federal safety official Bob Francis isn't sold on the idea.
The morale in the cockpit, the efficiency in the cockpit and everything else would really be seriously hampered.
Too much cockpit chatter was blamed for a crash near Buffalo last year that killed 50 people. S&P futures are up a point. This is CBS News.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe talking about the right time to have your vehicle serviced.
Oh, I don't know. I guess now would be good.
Now Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships have the Works Fuel Saver package. Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So then, right now.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service. Up to 5-course oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating dealership or visit genuineservice.com for mailing rebate details through 32710.
Just tell me, is it now?
It's now, Mike.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered prices throughout the store on items pros use the most. Right now, instantly save $50 to $250 bucks when you spend $500 or more on any in-stock bathroom products. Savings like that can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Deer Creek and neighboring Stony Creek schools in Littleton are closed today after yesterday's shooting that wounded two students. A girl who was hit has been released from the hospital, but a boy remains in critical condition at Children's. Police arrested 32-year-old Bruco Eastwood. They've not determined a motive.
I heard a gunshot and everybody started running away. I was a little confused, and then I saw the shooter. I saw him put out a second shot. And that's when the bus driver told us all to get down, so we got down.
Counselors will be available for students today. Governor Ritter has signed a bill that cuts state employee retiree benefits to prevent the pension system from going broke. The governor calls it a difficult but necessary decision. The pension system covers 450,000 state workers, teachers, and local government employees, as well as lawmakers. Officials warn that without changes, the pension plan would go broke in 20 years. In sports, more Olympic hardware for Colorado athletes. The Nordic combined team won the silver medal. That team features Steamboat residents Todd Lodwick and Johnny Spillane. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
The slowest stretch of this morning's commute exists southbound 225. Coming around that Parker curve as you're making your way up towards I-25. Speed through that stretch, you're going to dip down into the teens and 20s. Southbound I-25 also loading up and bogging down 120th, pretty much down towards 84th. We do have a surface street accident occurred at County Line and Inverness. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day temperature-wise with a high in the mid to upper 40s to go along with those sunny skies. Currently, it's already 28 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
We all have a unique groove. What's yours? For your next new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, find it at Groove Toyota and Groove Subaru on Broadway. And now, Groove Mazda and Groove Ford on Arapahoe. Or visit them at grooveautomotive.com.
Giving you more for your money.
It comes standard at Midas with the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. First, we'll inspect your brakes, and if needed, we'll install new brake pads or shoes for just $99.99 per axle. The Secure Stop Brake Service, just $99.99 per axle. Nobody beats Midas for value. That's the Midas touch.
Additional parts, labor, and taxes extra. Shop fees may apply. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Bye. 7:06 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Got a busy show for you. Obviously, we're going to be talking about this school shooting down in Jefferson County. A lot of memories of Columbine. Pretty scary stuff. And it actually comes on a day where we have a lot of news in the national news and some state news on firearms. So we will get to that in just a sec. In the 8 a.m. hour, we'll be joined by award-winning author Thomas Ricks of the Washington Post. He's their senior Pentagon correspondent. He's going to be at the Tattered Cover on Colfax at 7:30 tonight. His new book, The Gamble, General David Petraeus and the American Military Adventure in Iraq. That's at 8. And then at 9, Stephen Hill, the author of a new book called Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. A pretty controversial topic. You hear a lot about Europe and how supposedly bad their model is from the right wing, their economic model. So we will talk to him at 9. He'll join us in studio. And one of the things that that Europe has struggled with is something that we are struggling with right here in Colorado, the issue of retirement, of pensions. Governor Ritter signing a bill yesterday to slash retirement benefits for state employees. We'll get into that a little later on. But first, obviously, the big news in Colorado, this shooting down at Deer Creek Middle School in Jefferson County. The big news of the day, on a day when there is a lot of news about guns in the national news and in the local news separate from the shooting. Now, if somehow you haven't heard about this shooting, a man essentially opened fire randomly at Deer Creek Middle School yesterday. He was tackled by a teacher there after he got off only two rounds, but two rounds hit two children. One child is still in critical condition. The other child is going to be okay. And this could have easily been a Columbine situation. That's what everybody seems to be saying, although I think the mechanically the difference here is that the shooter was using a hunting rifle. I have not seen any reports that he had any machine guns there. But it definitely could have been far worse than it was if not for this teacher who tackled the shooter. It is the second shooting at Deer Creek Middle School. There was a shooting there in 1982. I believe that was between two of the students. It was between two of the teens. Not that that makes it any better. And, you know, it's hard to know what to make of this. Right? I mean, it's hard to know what lessons we can draw from an event like this. It's not clear to me that there's any necessarily overtly what you might call political issues here. You clearly had a troubled guy, this guy Bruco Strong Eagle Eastwood. He goes by Bo. Bo Eastwood is the suspect who has a long rap sheet: assault charges, domestic violence disputes. A troubled guy. His father calls him a drifter, who had always had problems. He's been troubled, his father said. He hasn't had a job in 5 years, and he's got all these bills he can't pay. He's tried to get help, but he doesn't have any money and can't pay the cost. Obviously, that doesn't explain or rationalize why somebody would walk up to a school and open fire. But I wonder what you think this is all about. I wonder if you think this is just an isolated incident. I mean, in some ways, obviously, it's an isolated incident. But this is I don't know, how many shootings have we had in the last year? Right? The guy in Binghamton who walks over to the immigration center. You got a gunfight out in Portland, Oregon. You had the guy who walked into the office building down in Florida.
Yeah, Dave, this is crazy. I mean, is it like a safety issue at work or schools, or is it a mental health issue?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, that's the issue here. That's the question. I mean,
as a parent, I'm just frightened, you know.
Yeah.
And my daughter came home from school yesterday, and of course, this is all breaking, you know, like 4 o'clock, 3 to 4 o'clock, and she comes home and sees this, and she doesn't know how to make sense of it. And how as a father do you try to explain to your kids what's happening?
And I don't. At some level, I don't know if there is an explanation. I mean, look, there are crazy people in this world who are going to do crazy things. But I think where you start to ask tougher questions is you start to ask why this seems to be happening so often right now. And I don't think it's just a matter of perception, right? I don't think it's just a matter of we have more media right now just telling us about these things, and these things have always been going on at this frequency. I mean, there's always been murders in our society. But the sort of random, I walk into a building, there's no premeditation in terms of I don't have a beef with you. I just walk in and start randomly shooting random people I don't even know.
Defenseless people,
right. I mean, the pace of these is definitely increasing. And when you look comparatively to other countries, and obviously Michael Moore made this point in Bowling for Columbine, that this kind of thing rarely, if ever, happens in places like Canada, rarely, if ever, happens in places like Europe. And so you have to start asking the question, why? What is it about our society that makes this more prevalent than other industrialized societies? And I don't know if there's an easy answer to that. I don't know. My guess is that it has something to do with a society in which people are extremely, extremely alienated. My guess is, and you can say, Sirota, you're just talking through your own lens. to mix a metaphor. You're just looking at this through your own eye shades. But my guess is that as a societal phenomenon, shootings like this, as they become more prevalent, has obviously something to do with the recession. I mean, I think, look, crime tends to go up in general during tough economic times. And let me just put a disclaimer out here. None of the things that I'm talking about in any way absolves the perpetrators of these heinous crimes. But if we're going to step back after we say, okay, look, how do we make schools more secure? After we get through the mechanical questions, if we're going to look at this as a societal phenomenon, I think it's important to ask, what is at the root of this when you take all of these together? All of these shootings. It's like once every 6 weeks we hear about one of these things. And I have to believe that there's the recession in the short term. Sure, crime increases usually during a recession. But that also, that what makes us different from other industrialized countries is that we do really have embedded in our society the me first, screw everybody else attitude. That at the public policy level, increasingly at the community level, we have an ethos that says everybody is on their own. And when you have that ethos, you're going to have people at the fringes who aren't making it, who were left behind. And some of those people who are going to be left behind are going to be the folks living in the tent cities in Colorado Springs. Some of the folks who are going to be left behind are going to be people who go nuts and who are looking for some vengeance. And maybe that's in part what explains why we as a society, as opposed to other industrialized societies, seem to have so many of these random shootings of defenseless innocents, not premeditated in any way, not grudge killings, that there are people out there with beefs who feel left behind with beefs against society at large. Not saying the beefs are justified, but I just wonder if it has something to do, if you think it has something to do with what we talked about, and it goes, we can even connect it and I'm not connecting the shooting, obviously, to Glenn Beck, but the ethos that he puts out there about how community is an evil thing, right? He read that quote from Teddy Roosevelt about the value of community, and then he railed on it, and the Conservative Political Action Conference went crazy screaming, cheering him on. I just wonder if this is a symptom of a larger breakdown in community and our sense of community, that when you live in a society that says everybody is on their own. And I was listening, I won't name who I was listening to, but I was listening on the way in to a far right-wing talk show host here in town who was saying, it's not anybody's responsibility to pay for health care for anybody else. Somebody, a caller had called in and said, my sister had not been able to pay for her prescription drugs. And he said, well, is society responsible for your sister? And my point here is that when you add all of that up, right, that's one teeny little example. Beck's speech yesterday, one teeny little example. When you add all of that up, you have a society that is effectively saying to everybody, you are on your own. And if you can't make it on your own, then nobody's going to be here to help you. There is no I am my brother's keeper sense in this society. So I ask this question in light of this shooting, because we can talk about, well, they need to make security better at schools, but every report about this shooting suggests that the police had a post-Columbine plan in place that worked. Everything about this shooting, we could talk about how you make schools more secure. But I think the deeper question is, what prompts the shooter in the first place? Beyond just the fact that, obviously, so let's stipulate it. Anybody who does this kind of thing is crazy. But What takes a person who previously hadn't been crazy and makes them crazy? Because when you add up all these shootings across the country, this is, I think we can label this a societal phenomenon, not just an isolated incident. What do you think? 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600. What is the societal phenomenon of random shootings? We've seen a lot of them this year. What is going on here? What do you think is going on here? Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that we have created an ethos in this country that is alienating to people, and that if we're going to create that ethos, then people at the fringes going crazy is just going to be a part of what it means to live in America, that that's just a symptom of that? Or do you think I'm way off? 303-713-7600. We got open lines. 303-713-7600. Or you can instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Up next, we'll fill you in, as I mentioned, some national news on the specific issue of guns. States loosening their gun laws right now. That's the big story in the New York Times. And also, CSU makes a big move on concealed weapons. We'll fill you in on that. We'll take your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Things looking pretty normal on the freeways around town. Stop and go, southbound 225. Once you get out around Parker Road, it's going to last all the way to the 25 merge. Northbounders hitting the brakes there at the spillway up past 6th Avenue. Speeds in the 20s and 30s in that stretch. Also looking at the normal jams on southbound I-25. 120th down to 84th again, 48th past Spear. Northbounders hitting the brakes from Lincoln to 6th Avenue as well. One accident, it's on a county line east of I-25 at Inverness. Your forecast today should be mostly sunny in the a.m. with a few clouds this afternoon. Nice and warm, though, high near 49 degrees, currently 27 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
It's quite a proposition when you think about it. You contact GEICO and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. 15 minutes, simple as that. Something they've been doing for over 70 years. You want car insurance and you want extra money in your wallet, done and done. Now not only do you have some nice car insurance, you've got plenty of money to spend on some tasty biscuits. Or flowers for your mum. Or whatever it is you fancy.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And now, two more facts you didn't know. Fact 1. There are no poisonous snakes in Maine. Fact 2. GEICO can also help you with renter's insurance. And that's important, because when you rent, the building itself may be insured, but your possessions are not. So GEICO can help you make sure you're really covered. For all the details, visit GEICO.com. No poisonous snakes. On a personal note, I've just decided I'm moving to Maine.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
There is other news in the world of guns and gun politics that surfaces today on an issue where I think guns are on a lot of people's minds. This shooting down at Deer Creek Middle School has revived these most frightening memories of Columbine High School. And this story in the New York Times, you tell me if you think it's related. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be people who say, oh, you know, this has nothing to do with guns, and some people say this has everything to do with guns. The guy used yesterday a hunting rifle, so not an assault weapon. So you can't really say this has anything to do with the expiration of the assault weapons ban. Although other shootings across the country over the last year certainly have had to do with assault weapons. The headline in the New York Times, fearing Obama agenda, states push to loosen gun laws. When President Obama took office, gun rights advocates sounded the alarm, warning that he intended to strip them of their arms and ammunition. And there was this big surge in people buying guns and buying ammunition. In fact, at one point, there was an ammo shortage because people were buying so many guns. And the Times says, and yet the opposite is happening. Mr. Obama has been largely silent on the issue, while states are engaged in a new and largely successful push for expanded gun rights, even passing measures that have been rejected in the past. In Virginia, the General Assembly just approved a bill that allows people to carry concealed weapons in bars and restaurants that serve alcohol. Alcohol and guns, what a great mix, really. And the House of Delegates there voted to repeal a 17-year-old ban on buying more than one handgun a month. The actions came less than 3 years after the shootings at Virginia Tech that claimed 33 lives. Arizona and Wyoming lawmakers are considering nearly a half dozen pro-gun measures, including one that would allow residents to carry concealed weapons without a permit. And lawmakers in Montana and Tennessee passed measures last year, the first of their kind, to exempt their states from federal regulation of firearms and ammunition that are made, sold, and used in state. Similar bills have been proposed in at least three other states. Locally, at the same time this shooting was going on, the Fort Collins Coloradan is reporting that without discussion, the CSU Board of Governors on Tuesday banned weapons on the university system's Fort Collins and Pueblo campuses, including guns carried by concealed carry permit holders. That was a unanimous vote. They take effect August 1, although opponents have already threatened a lawsuit, and a related case is set to be heard by the Colorado Court of Appeals next month. Does the shooting have to do just with our gun policy? Or does it have something, is it a bigger societal commentary? Should we be asking, how do we simply make our schools more secure? Or should we be asking, how do we crack down on guns in terms of making sure at least that they don't get in the hands of people who have long, violent crime arrest records, like the suspect in this shooting? Or should we not even talk about guns? Or is this not anything that has anything to do with guns, and this has to do with alienation, with a society that is so under economic stress right now, a society that's ethos is now so much about me first, screw everybody else, that random shootings are just a sort of a consequence that we've come to accept in a society that says people can be left behind, and in a society like that, there are going to be people at the very, very far fringes who simply go crazy and do crazy things. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones now. We'll go to Jim. Jim calling in from Salt Lake City. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
You know, Australia was able to get rid of their guns, and England was able to get rid of their guns. I think it's time that we started looking at repealing the Second Amendment, to be honest with you.
So you think it's a gun issue?
Well, I think that the Second Amendment has kind of given many people in this country the idea in their head that somehow you can't have an American society without a gun in your hands, and that kind of just gives credibility to any argument you want to make about, you know, having 10 guns or 100 guns or, you know, a whole basement full of munitions or whatever. But
well, I think, you know, I do think at one level what's interesting and frightening is that it's not just what the gun can do, right? I think it's this idea that the gun has become taken on a cultural meaning, right? That the gun is something that is fundamentally, we see now as fundamentally American. You know, it's tied to cowboy culture. It's tied to all of these symbols of Americanness. And the Second Amendment has been put on this pedestal now as something as important, if not the most important amendment. Now, we can get into a debate. I mean, the problem with a debate like this is, I still think, and you tell me what you think about this, I still think that if we only focus the questions on guns, right? And again, this guy was using a hunting rifle. He wasn't even using an assault weapon. If we focus the question only on guns, how do we make sure that people like this don't get guns? I feel like we're kind of missing, we're not seeing the forest through the trees. You know, that all right, if this guy, if suddenly all the guns were gone, would this guy, I don't know, would he bring a pipe bomb? right? I mean, to me, the first, I'm not trying to take on the idea, I'm not trying to discount what you're saying here, and I'm not trying to go completely fringe right wing where people say, you know, it's not guns who kill people, it's people who kill people or whatever. You know, I mean, I don't know, I don't buy that argument fully or nearly
at
all.
I think we need a leadership, and we need, and I'd love to see Obama do this. I would love to see him just take the lead on it and say, you know, this is my opinion. You know, the Second Amendment is causing a cultural crisis because people kind of wear it on their sleeves, you know, and it's not the same society that it was 250 years ago. And you've got guns that can mow down 100 people in 20 seconds, you know, and you've got to, the only way you can kind of get the culture to move in a different direction is to take that off the table and say, we're going to have restrictions and we're going to have restrictions. We're going to have to admit that we've got a problem in the law.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't hold your breath on that with Obama. I mean, this is a guy who, as the New York Times reports, is just not interested in really talking about the issue. But you sure would like to see a debate about the issues surrounding guns. Absolutely. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jacob in Loveland. Jacob, you're on AM 760.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
All right, man.
This is my personal opinion. I don't think it has anything to do with guns. People are still going to be able to get guns regardless of what rules and laws we have. I think it's all management stress. I mean, people need to learn how to manage their stress and anger. And when a person reaches a certain degree of stress, they try to take it on someone else because they're blaming, like you said, the society, but it's not really the society.
Well, I mean, let me stop you there and just say this. I agree with you and I disagree with you. I agree with you in the sense that you're right. This obviously has to do with mismanaged stress. Let's put it that way. And I also think it has to do with a criminal justice system that either didn't lock this guy up when it needed to lock this guy up, or probably even really the real problem is that we have a criminal justice system that is not interested in rehabilitating people, right? I mean, we have this guy had a rap sheet, and we in this state in particular do not have a criminal justice system that is interested in rehabbing people for reintegration into society. We lock them up and then we let them out. That's it. And there's a debate, and I'll fill people in on this after the next break. There's a debate going on in the legislature about that particular issue. The one thing I would disagree with you about, though, Jacob, is that I do think that I'm not saying that the at all that what I'm saying here is that the anger at society, I don't think it's justified, and to take that anger and take it to the extreme that we saw this shooter take his anger, I don't think that's justified, obviously, at all. But I do think we do need to ask the question, what is it about our society that causes this, right? I mean, you can't just look at all these shootings and say, well, it's just people who are overstressed, right? Well, there's people who are stressed all over the world, right? I mean, and this is a kind of a uniquely American phenomenon. So I think we have to ask that societal question, how is it that our society is organized that this has become a uniquely American phenomenon?
Well, you know, like I was watching the Channel 2 news this morning, and they showed this guy that owed money to the IRS. His house was going for foreclosure. Neither the IRS or the bank was willing to work with him, so he went and rented a bulldozer and bulldozed all his house. And his reasoning is he just reached a point to where he could not take it anymore, and he don't want the bank to take the house, and he figured, okay, I'll just demolish the whole house. And that's
this is a separate person.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean is by people take their anger on other avenues without thinking about it. And in this guy's situation, if he's been in trouble with the law, and like you said, he fell through the cracks and we didn't take care of him. Our justice system didn't take care of that if with that person and not let him out on the street.
Well, that's exactly right. And of course, the conservatives would say, well, they'd scream at you and me and they'd say, well, it's not, are you saying it's the government's responsibility to rehab people like this? Are you saying it's the government's responsibility to help that guy manage his stress, the other guy who you said bulldozed his house? I mean, my answer is, frankly, yes. My answer is, if we are our brother's keeper, then it is our responsibility as a community. And I know that the conservative ethic out there, we heard it from Glenn Beck in the CPAC conference. Their ethic is, and he read the quote, he read the Teddy Roosevelt quote about how when people benefit, it should be a benefit to the community, and the conservatives, they cheer against that. They screamed against that. He held that up as something that is evil. And I'm with you on this in the sense that I think it goes, all of these issues, whether it's a shooting, whether it's somebody doing something else crazy that has no explanation, I think we should start asking the question, what does it have to do with a society that really at its root is saying to people, we will not help you. You are not part of a community. You are on your own. And there are going to be people out there. And you know what? I encourage you to call 303-713-7600. Because if you're one of those conservatives out there, one of those people who said, hey, the me first, screw everybody else culture is what we want in this country, then you should be somebody who believes that this, that every now and again somebody's going to walk into a school and try to shoot somebody, or every now and again somebody's going to do something crazy in terms of violent crime, and that's just the cost of doing business in a country where we say we have no community. Because that is a cost of doing business. I don't think it should be the business that we're in. But if that's the me first, screw everybody else society that conservatives want to live in, then it comes with a downside. And I think the fact that these kinds of shootings have become uniquely American phenomena is exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, Jacob, thanks for the call. 735 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we'll fill you in on a couple more pieces of news happening here in Colorado. And we just talked about how the criminal justice system did not rehabilitate this guy, this shooter. There's a bill in the legislature now to deal with starting to try to rehab people. We'll fill you in on that. We'll take more of your calls. 303-713-7600 about this shooting down in Jefferson County. We'll take more of your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. Do have some stop-and-go conditions, but they're in the normal spots. Southbound 225, Park Road I-25. Also on southbound I-25 in North Glen, also downtown after 48th Ave. Looking at stop-and-go northbounders as well, Arapahoe to Evans, that's a little bit unusual. Also seeing some jams on C-470 westbound from 285 to I-70 eastbounders, loosen all the way up to around Quebec. One accident still, nothing on the freeway. This is on the surface streets on County Line Road, just east of I-25. The forecast, mostly sunny to start, afternoon clouds, but warm, highs in the upper 40s. Right now, 27 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Fly Frontier and save money with the bunny or the otter or the bear. Great sale fares from $49 each way and nonstop service to more than 70 cities across the continent. Buy your ticket by February 24th and fly by June 9, 2010. Book today at frontierairlines.com. Fees and taxes of up to $20 not included.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, I like your quote. To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered prices throughout the store on items pros use the most. Right now, instantly save $50 to $250 when you spend $500 or more on any in-stock bathroom products. Savings like that can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
It's me, Mr. TV, and speaking on behalf of the TVs in many good homes today, I'm asking you for some digital love from Comcast. I'm talking about the Comcast Digital TV Package, and you're going to love the price. $29.99 a month for 6 months for the digital channels that every TV wants. Plus, listen to this, you're going to love free HBO for 6 months. That's all 8 channels of HBO and HBO On Demand, including the premiere of the new war epic, The Pacific. You'll get Discovery, Food Network, Altitude, Fox Sports, and Animal Planet, plus your local channels and video on demand for just $29.99 a month for 6 months. And did I mention free HBO for 6 months? It's a great deal of TV. Call 1-800-COMCAST by Sunday, March 7th. Your TV will thank you.
Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to new residential customers. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Equipment, taxes, and franchise fees extra. Call Comcast for details.
It was school and shooting two kids. One of the kids still in critical condition. A teacher heroically tackled this guy before more casualties be racked up. And maybe you said that, and I think it's a fair point, that this teacher this individual act of heroism really shows that there is a competing. I mean, if you take these two guys as archetypes, right? Follow me here for a sec. If you take the teacher as one archetype and you take the shooter as another archetype, the shooter, I think, represents that kind of alienation, right? The byproduct, the toxic byproduct of a me-first, screw-everybody-else society that hates the concept of community. The teacher, I think, archetypally, represents that competing vision of we're all in this together. A guy who risks his life, he could have run away, this teacher could have. Guy who risks his life for the community. And I think that's the struggle in this country right now. When Glenn Beck goes before the Conservative Political Action Conference and says that whole swaths of the population are a cancer that needs to be eradicated because they believe in a sense of community. And you can watch his speech. It's what he says. That's one vision. That's the me first, screw everybody else vision. And the other vision, I think, is a, you call it progressive, I would just call it American. An American vision that says we are all in this together. And so I think the teacher and the shooter, in a sense, are two archetypes. And I think the reason we have, or one of the reasons we have so many of these shootings, is not just because of our gun laws. We can get into a debate with whether you think guns kill people or people kill people. But when you step back from that, you have to ask the question, why does this happen so often? Right? This is the latest in the long string of random shootings. 303-713-7600. One issue beneath this, and this goes to the me first, screw everybody else culture versus the idea that we're all in this together, is rehabilitation. The suspect in this had a long rap sheet of violent crimes. And the question is not only why was he not locked up and kept out of society, but the other question is, why wasn't he rehabilitated before he was let back into society? Our criminal justice system is not into rehabbing people. It right now is part of the me first, screw everybody else culture. Just get it out of my face. Don't care if we rehab these people and then put them back on the street, see if they can sink or swim themselves. And some good news on that subset of issues here. The headline of the Denver Post this morning, more rehab, less jail in drug reform measure. Drug offenders could spend less time in jail and more time in rehabilitation programs under a sentencing reform proposal that debuted at the state capitol this week with widespread support and the goal of curbing repeat offenses. This is good news. This is rejecting the me first, screw everybody else, lock the door, throw away the key mentality that has dominated criminal justice. So this is a good step, I think, and we're going to follow that story because criminal justice reform is clearly a part of this. We'll go to the phones, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. James in Denver. James, you're on AM 760.
Hello, sir.
Hey there.
Hi. I just have a couple points to bring up to you, something that came up as I was listening to you. First one I wanted to bring up was the fact that you kind of touched on this ethos thing. Pretty much you kind of hypocritically demonstrated why this ethos is so prevalent by calling the guy crazy. And I noticed it the other day with the guy who flew into the IRS building down in Austin, too, because I was switching back and forth between you and down the dial on the conservative station, and both of you guys were calling the guy crazy, calling him a kook, et cetera, et cetera. And what we do as a society is if we just label people as crazy, we don't have to understand their motives. We don't have to understand.
Well, but I didn't say that. I mean, first of all,
called this guy crazy.
Yes, crazy. And you know what? And I stand by it. Hold on one second. And I'm only putting you on hold because I'm getting feedback from your phone. I'll take you off hold in a sec. I called somebody who's going to fly a suicide terrorist attack a government building is not mentally stable. Something a gasket has been blown. They have gone crazy. Somebody who walks into a school and starts shooting kids is crazy. Does it mean, I mean, maybe you hear it and you say, well, then we're not going to, you know, then you turn the dial and you didn't listen to our discussion. But at least here on AM 760 on the morning show, we're asking deeper questions than simply saying, all right, they're crazy and they're just kooks. That's actually the point here. the point of what I'm saying is that these people are people who fell off the cliff, the mental cliff. They clearly have mental illnesses. But that doesn't mean that society didn't help drive them off the cliff. And that doesn't mean that their motives aren't important, especially, by the way, in the IRS case, when the guy clearly articulated his motives.
Okay, now, so were our founding fathers crazy when they went against the British Empire?
No, they weren't crazy.
Are you sure? Because they tried to attack a justly constituted government.
No, that was not a justly constituted government. That was a dictatorship. That was a colonial dictatorship. It wasn't even a country. It was a colony of England. Are you literally coming onto the airwaves and relating a school shooting to the American Revolution?
Well,
because
no,
frankly, James, if you are, then you're freaking crazy.
You brought me off on that tangent. My point was, the fact is, you call somebody crazy, you label them as crazy, you don't even have to, you can completely ignore their
But I'm not doing that.
And their purposes. James,
I will agree with you. I will agree with you that some people will simply say, to not have a discussion at all, will simply say, the guy's crazy, let's not talk about it. I'm saying, you've got to stipulate. You've got to stipulate that somebody who does, let's say, bombs an IRS building, and somebody walks into a school and shoots kids, you have to acknowledge that there is a mental illness there. There's a craziness there. I want to go further than that. I think you have to go further than that. But if you don't stipulate that, James, if you don't think you have to be crazy to do what they did, then I think you're crazy.
Justifications and reasons, sir. Okay, I'm not saying that the attack in Austin was justified by no means whatsoever, but he had his reasons.
Yes,
he laid out his reasons. The IRS bankrupted him.
Yeah, but. But I guess, but James, I guess what I'm saying is that it's not mutually exclusive. That's my point. You can be crazy and also have a motive. The Unabomber was crazy and had a motive. What I'm saying is I actually agree with you in the sense that some folks out there will simply say, in order to not have a discussion about motive, some people say, well, he's just insane. And I'm saying, I stipulate that the guy's insane in the IRS bombing, but we also have to ask questions about what this means. And I'm totally there.
We're asking the right questions to get to the root problem so that we avoid these issues in the future.
Completely agreed. And I just think you're stuck on a word. And I think your problem is if you can't stipulate first and foremost that people who do these things have gone off the mental cliff, then you are being as dishonest as people who would simply say these people are crazy and I don't want to talk about any other motives.
When people have a physical disability, we attack people who make fun of people with physical disability. So if you call somebody an offensive word because they have a physical disability, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if people have a mental disability, we as a society look down on people with mental illness as social pariahs. I mean, that's just the fact. We consider them complete outcasts.
Agreed.
If they have a mental illness. That's the root problem when you were talking about this ethos. So as long as we keep using words like crazy and a kook and this, that, and the other. Now, you didn't necessarily say a kook. I think you did say that on Monday with the Austin thing, or maybe it was Friday. I don't remember.
I don't typically use the word kook.
Well, the words were thrown out there as far as insane, crazy, nut job, etc.
I mean, frankly, James, I'm not somebody who. I mean, I got to tell you something. I'm not somebody who subscribes to the whole conservative attack on the issue of quote unquote political correctness, but. Right now, you're essentially saying we can't really talk about somebody's mental, going over the mental cliff. You want to parse the word. That's not the point here. Okay? You are so far gone into the world of political correctness that I don't know what word you want me to use, but if you can't stipulate that somebody who walks into a school and starts mowing down kids is crazy, whatever word you want to use, insane, crazy. If you can't stipulate that first before asking the deeper questions, then frankly, my friend, you are crazy. Thanks for the call. Chad in Broomfield. Chad, you're on AM 760.
Hello?
Hey, Chad.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on the air?
You're on the air, buddy.
Sure. Sorry. I wanted to comment on this. I would just want to say that I consider myself fairly centered in the political thing. And I think that... as far as gun control goes, I don't think it really would have made a difference. I think that he would have found some way to get what he wanted done. I think that there's been throwing around of reform. I think as far as gun control reform goes, it should be no assault weapons.
Well, the issue as it relates specifically to this shooting down in Jefferson County is that it was a hunting rifle. It was not an assault rifle. So I think, as a matter of fact, as a matter of evidentiary truth, that anything that we've been discussing on gun control with assault weapons, et cetera, would not have impacted this particular shooting. There have been other shootings with assault weapons where I think you could make the argument that there would have been less casualties with less assault weapons. But I certainly agree with you. This guy used a hunting rifle, and no one has talked about, at least not recently, about regulating hunting rifles. If there is one gun control question, it is, should people with a rap sheet like this, that this guy had, should they have access to guns? Although, apparently, reportedly, this guy actually stole his dad's hunting rifle. And we have to wait to confirm that. Hey, thanks for the call. 750 here on AM 760. Let's get a traffic update.
Dave, traffic is all of a sudden a bear. Got a few accidents to avoid. Southbound 225 at Yosemite. So getting to the tech center, really brutal now. Looks like traffic's barely moving all the way back past Iliff. Also got a spilled load. Stacy northbound I-25 around Colfax. Delays back to Downing Street Bridge. And also a crash on the turnpike eastbound side at Pecos. This one is blocking the right-hand lane. Surface Street accidents, County Line in Inverness, and a three-car crash at Evans and Dahlia. One more, Chambers and Yale. Forecast today, mostly sunny to start. A few clouds are going to roll in this afternoon. Should be nice and warm, though. A high near 49 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Possible afternoon snow showers, but little accumulation, if any, in the metro. Highs will be in the mid-40s tomorrow. Currently 27 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Chevy Truck Month with 0% APR financing for qualified buyers on every full-size pickup, and they come with a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty, whichever comes first. Length of contract limited, not available with other offers. See dealer for details. Take delivery by March 1st, 2010.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
It's quite a proposition when you think about it. You contact GEICO and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. 15 minutes, simple as that. Something they've been doing for over 70 years. You want car insurance and you want extra money in your wallet, done and done. Now, not only do you have some nice car insurance, you've got plenty of money to spend on some tasty biscuits. Or flowers for your mum. Or whatever it is you fancy.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And now, two more facts you didn't know. Fact 1. There are no poisonous snakes in Maine. Fact 2. GEICO can also help you with renter's insurance. And that's important. Because when you rent, the building itself may be insured, but your possessions are not. So GEICO can help you make sure you're really covered. For all the details, visit GEICO.com. No poisonous snakes. On a personal note, I've just decided I'm moving to Maine.
It is doing something different. It's not, you're not missing what's going on. You're getting what's going on. That's exactly why you need to have a strategy right now. 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600. Marla, stay warm out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too. You'll talk to Michael tomorrow.
Okay, great. Great. Excellent.
Take care.
Talk to you then.
Is divorce your only option? Want some questions answered about the possibility of ending your marriage? Get the straight facts from attorneys, financial experts, and mental health experts each Sunday. Because we're talking divorce. Sundays from 11 to noon. Right here on AM 760.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What, if anything, does the Jefferson County shooting say about our society? If we get beyond the gun issue, this is the latest in a series of random shootings. And I think what you see here is you see a battle of of ethics. A battle, two archetypes in this story. We got the shooter, a guy who has a criminal rap sheet, who's been essentially left out to dry by the criminal justice system, by the economy. A guy been crushed by the economy. Something snaps. He walks into a school, starts shooting kids randomly. The other archetype is the teacher, who represents a guy who's willing to who be heroic, say, "I am my brother's keeper. I am my student's protectors." Risks his life to take down this shooter. I think this is the broader battle in this country, that the me first, screw everybody else society, the vision, the conservative vision, is going, is leaving people behind. And it's no surprise that some of those people, something snaps and they do crazy stuff. And I'm not saying that the conservative talkers out there, the Glenn Becks of the world, are saying go out and shoot people in schools. Obviously, they're not doing that. But when you create an ethic in society that says everybody is on their own and you've got no help and you're all out there on your own, you're going to get people who, at the fringes, who go completely crazy. And I think it's worth asking the question, how has this become a uniquely American phenomenon? The random shooting, really. A uniquely American phenomenon. Sure, there's been shootings in other parts of the country, but at the level that we have them here, a uniquely American phenomenon. And I think we have to start asking questions about what this is really about, and whether it's about our overarching worldview that says everybody is on their own. Dale in Thornton. Dale, you're on AM 760.
Hi, this is Dale. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, listen, I wholly agree and totally support your theme here. This is, I think you're exactly right. I think it needs to be pushed by the media that this, pretty much everything you've been saying, but what I had in particular in mind, and you have, this is a good segue because you mentioned the Glenn Beck, and we cannot blame this on Glenn Beck, but there was something that I heard a few days ago. It was on Mario's show, as a matter of fact. He presented a clip. Glenn Beck was on some, I don't know, Good Morning America, some show. And in regard to the capture of the Stella in Pakistan, you know, the second boss of the Taliban or whatever. And he said, "Yeah, if it was up to me, I would take this guy out and shoot him in the head." Okay, and those are the literal words, but he didn't even just say it once. He said it over and over. He screamed it. Now, outside of the irony that he accuses people of being fascists or communists, and then suggests that this should be an American way of behavior as well, when it's not just a matter of mentioning, he could say it, perhaps, you know, and just off the cuff, but to repeat it and repeat it. There's a strata of people in this country who are...
They're going to act on it.
They're always on the edge.
That's exactly right, and this is what I'm talking about. You're exactly right, man. You can't blame Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or any right-winger for even the IRS bombing, the anti-tax suicide terrorist bombing. You can't directly blame them. You can blame them for creating a culture in society that says to everybody, you are on your own, and one way to mitigate your problems is to take the law into your own hands, is to go violent, is to go rogue. When you put all of that together, you can't then step back and say, I can't believe that somebody went rogue. I can't believe that somebody who felt left behind by this worldview, by this country that's saying that they're all on their own. You can't step back and say you're surprised about it. You can be outraged about it. What happened down at Deer Creek Middle School is grotesque. But you can't actually be like, I'm really super surprised, when you've got a society that is dominated by a worldview that says we're all on our own. We'll get back to it after the national news.
So here's a new idea. What this country needs right now is a new bailout, right? Let's put a new tax on something and then send money to people who don't really need it. That'll work. This time, they want to put a new tax on every song played on the radio. And who gets a pile of money? Hundreds of millions of dollars? Giant record companies, most of which are in foreign countries. We'll pay all the money, and they'll keep gobs of it. Great. It's a bad idea. It could bankrupt local radio stations. But like a lot of bad ideas, it will happen, unless we tell our members of Congress to stop it. Join us. Go to www.noperformancetax.org. That's noperformancetax.org. Tell your members of Congress to stop the radio performance tax. That's why the National Association of Broadcasters and this radio station are airing this message. Stop the radio tax.
That's what I'm talking about. Now maybe my son will appreciate me for the true internet visionary roofer I truly am.
Well, I...
Yeah, I probably shouldn't push it.
Dex One. Marketing solutions, business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4DEX now.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. Mr. Toyota has a date with Congress. The hearing begins an hour from now. Company President Akio Toyota isn't likely to shed new light on a range of safety problems, but he will apologize for not moving fast enough to deal with them and extend his sympathy to the families of victims of accidents caused by unintended acceleration. Joseph Audel lost two cousins when an out-of-control Lexus crashed in San Diego.
It's heartbreaking, especially when you know that it could have been prevented.
CBS's Dean Reynolds tells us Toyota can expect a chilly reception from lawmakers.
We can expect them to go directly at Mr. Toyota because he, after all, is the top of the pyramid. I mean, he is the guy who's supposed to have the answers to the problem.
What would it take to get you behind the wheel of a new Toyota? Live to CBS's Steve Kathan. Steve, what's Toyota doing to get people to look past its difficulties?
Well, along with all the ads about damage and image control,
a good company will fix its mistakes.
Look for some good old-fashioned deals.
We're hearing rumblings about extended warranties and maybe free service. They're mulling over a lot of ideas. Certainly it will be aggressive.
Michelle Krebs of Edmunds.com. Toyota's said to be offering new Corollas with 0% interest over 5 years. New Camrys for as little as $179 a month, and discounts on some Lexus leases. Frank?
A late word, former Vice President Cheney's just out of the hospital after suffering a mild heart attack the other day. Federal officials are considering the use of cockpit monitors to find out if airline pilots are paying attention to what they're doing. Pilots don't like the idea, and former National Transportation Safety Board Vice Chairman Bob Francis is skeptical.
The value is marginal. I mean, there just aren't that many cases where you have things happen.
Overseas, tens of thousands of striking Greek workers march through the streets of Athens to protest the sacrifices they're being asked to make to help solve that country's debt problem. Here at home, it's a demonstration of a different sort.
I'm Barry Bagnotto at Frank's Diner in Jessup, Maryland.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
Activists are preaching a pro-reform gospel here.
If it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen for a very long time.
Mark Steer and other marchers from Philadelphia arrive in Washington today hoping their voices will be heard.
Ensuring everyone will save everyone money.
At the diner counter, Charles Vollmerhausen isn't so sure.
They're going to raise our taxes to give somebody else insurance?
Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Jessup, Maryland.
And this is just in from Washington. New home sales plummeted by 11% in January. Much of the East is getting another taste of winter weather. But that snowplow could really be busy tomorrow and Friday when another mega storm is expected in Albany, New York. They're ready.
I think Albany deals with snowstorms fine, and this is just the start, and I know there's more coming.
The fish are safe today. Thousands of fishermen are marching on Congress to protest a law that limits their catch.
There is so much fish out there right now. We're throwing fish over dead every single day.
The Dow is up 56 points. This is CBS News.
If you're like a lot of small business owners, you have all your business info at your desk, which is fine, except for the fact that you're out on jobs, you're getting supplies, you're out getting customers. In fact, the one place you're probably not is at your desk. Well, Intuit QuickBooks Online is made for you. It makes it easy to access invoices, sales records, and customer info from virtually anywhere, even with a compatible mobile device. Intuit QuickBooks Online lets you run your business from wherever you are. Get a 30-day free trial at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer.
Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda Certified Used Cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda Certified Used Cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. A teenage boy shot outside a Littleton Middle School is at Children's Hospital in critical condition. A second victim, a teenage girl, was treated and released. 32-year-old Bruce O. Eastwood is in custody. He'd been living on his father's ranch in Weld County for the last few years. War Eagle Eastwood said he was surprised to learn that his son was involved.
Around 6:30 last night, they came, they were a bunch of them around my home here. I was out taking care of my chores and there were a bunch of guys out there sitting there looking for me, and I go, well, I'm here. And they said, well, we just want to make sure you're okay. And I go, why would you think I'm not okay? And they said, well, something happened with your son, and that was how I found out.
Eastwood says his son has some mental health issues. In sports, there was more Olympic hardware for some Colorado athletes at the Vancouver Games. The Nordic combined team won the silver medal. That team features Steamboat Springs residents Todd Lodwick and Johnny Spillane. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where the Denver Drive is a busy one right now. We've got trouble spots on a lot of the metro highways. Crash southbound 225. This one's coming up on Yosemite, blocking up the three left lanes, so you're going to find single-digit speeds on that approach to Iliff. We've got an accident in the tech center. This one just coming in. It's on the right shoulder of northbound I-25 near Orchard. Got another crash as you're debris in the road, rather. This is northbound I-25 near Colfax. We've got an accident eastbound 36 at Pecos. That one's blocking up the right lane, really stalling things up as you're trying to make your way Denver bound from Boulder. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day temperature-wise to go along with sunny skies. We can expect a high of almost 48 degrees today. Currently, it's already 33. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
At Safeway, you can count on low prices. With amazing club card specials and new everyday low prices, you can get what you want, when you want it, at the price you need. That's their promise. That's ingredients for life. Safeway.
At La Quinta Inns and Suites, we're even better than before. With thousands of stylish new rooms and our new Bright Morning Pillow Top beds, it's all yours for a lot less than you'd think. Book now at LQ.com or 800-SLEEP-LQ.
La Quinta.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
806 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. We're going to take a few minutes away from our discussion about the shooting down in Jefferson County, because we are joined by an esteemed guest, Thomas Ricks. He is the author of the new book, well, it's new in paperback, called The Gamble, General David Petraeus and the American Military Adventure in Iraq. He was the Washington Post's senior Pentagon correspondent, and he's going to be at the tattered cover on Colfax tonight at 7:30. Thomas Ricks, thanks for taking the time this morning. You have an editorial op-ed in the New York Times this morning about where we are in Iraq right now. Tell us, because you don't hear, I mean, Iraq is kind of off the front pages. Where are we in Iraq right now?
In a nutshell, what I'm saying is it's not, the situation is not as good as Americans think. The war is far from over. We probably have a lot more blood, treasure, sweat, and tears to expend there. Just because you stop paying attention doesn't mean it's over. And I ended up with a contradictory conclusion, which surprised myself. I think this invasion of Iraq was the biggest mistake in the history of American foreign policy. I think invading Iraq was a disastrous mistake. That said, I think we shouldn't leave. I think just because you invade a country stupidly doesn't mean you should leave it stupidly, and I think the smart, responsible thing to do is not to pull out all our troops by the end of next year, but to keep around 30 to 50,000 troops for another 4 or 5 years there.
This sounds like, to me, like... if he was fully and completely forthright, it sounds to me like you have some of the same feelings as Colin Powell, right? The people tend to read the tea leaves, say, well, Colin Powell really didn't want to invade Iraq because he felt like that if once we, what is it, the scrambled egg, once you break the egg, it's broken. It sounds to me like that's where you have sort of come down in all of your reporting at this point.
Yeah, that we shouldn't have invaded Iraq, that it was stupid to do it, a huge mistake, but, okay, we have to fess up. We did do it. It's like the guy who gets crazy drunk and drives his pickup truck through the plate glass window of the department store. You can't just hop out of the truck and say, boy, you guys got a real mess here. You got to clean it up. You got some responsibility there. I worry, especially if we leave according to an arbitrary timeline, that we walk out before Iraq is ready and that Iraq slides back into a civil war like it had in 2006. And because we're not around to intervene like we did in 06, you wind up with a regional war.
But what about the idea that if we don't tell the Iraqis that we're getting out at a certain point, there's less of an incentive for them to take over responsibility for their own security?
Yeah, I think there is that case. But what if nobody there really wants to take responsibility in the way that we think of it? What if they simply want to run the country according to their own lights, various factions?
Well, then I guess the question is, how do you create the incentive for them to assume their own the responsibility for their own security? I mean, how do you actually get somebody there who you'd want there to take that responsibility?
Well, you don't take it away from them in the first place. But once you've done that, you go in, and it's very much a long-term project. I think what you need to do is let a new generation of political leaders emerge from the local level. You don't go in and hold national elections right off like we try to do. You should first hold neighborhood elections and then town elections and then a year later provincial elections and then hope that some new leaders emerge. If we left right now, a friend of mine predicts within 6 months you'd either have a civil war or a military coup. I'm not saying this is a great idea. You stick around, almost certainly Iraq 10, 15 years from now is not going to be stable, not going to be democratic, and probably a closer ally of Iran than of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, none of these are good alternatives, and we can stipulate that, absolutely. Thomas Ricks, again, on the line with us. He was the Washington Post senior Pentagon correspondent. He's going to be at the Tattered Cover tonight, 7:30 on Colfax. His new paperback edition of his best-selling book, The Gamble, General David Petraeus and the American Military Adventure in Iraq. When you look back now, setting aside the initial decision to go to war, what do you think have been the worst political decisions, I guess, or not political decision, but the worst decisions by America's political leadership in Iraq?
I think generally a failure to recognize the situation. The Bush administration went in with a fantasy. We're going to change the world's oldest culture at the point of a gun. We're going to get out in 6 months. And so the first thing was to have this fantasy that you could change this country. The second thing was that you could get out quickly. And so we kept on again and again rushing to failure. And that's kind of what I worry again about doing, rushing to failure, pushing it too fast, lacking the patience to recognize the mistakes we've made. So I think the U.S., I hold the civilians, Bush people at fault, but also the U.S. military screwed this up terribly. People say, what would have happened if we would have had more troops at the beginning? My answer is you would have had more troops making mistakes, not because the troops were bad, but because the leadership was. The leadership did not understand this war, was very clumsy, was very focused on the enemy instead of focused on protecting the people from the enemy, which is what they started doing more recently and very successfully. It took the U.S. military a long time to adjust to this and start getting it right. And even then, it was the dissidents in the military. People forget now that the surge was opposed by the military chain of command and almost all top leaders in the U.S. military. It was sold to President Bush by these small group of officers who bypassed the chain of command and took the idea directly to the White House.
And in your New York Times op-ed today, you say that the surge worked in terms as a military project, although it has not achieved its political goals in Iraq. It has not created the kind of political stability that it was designed to create. So I guess it's a success militarily in your mind, but not politically.
Bingo. I mean, the bottom line is the surge failed. It achieved its tactical goal of improving security, but it did not achieve the larger strategic goal of leading to a political breakthrough. And so I say the surge failed. All the basic questions faced Iraq before the surge are still there. None of them have been answered. All of them have led to violence in the past. All are likely to lead to violence again.
Do you think that moving forward now, and because I've been doing some research for my for a book that I'm writing about the 1980s and the aftermath of Vietnam in part, I wonder if you think moving forward, nobody can really predict with any full accuracy, but in your educated guess, do you think that the experience in Iraq and Afghanistan, where I think in both, that the American people were not fessed up to, we were not really told, as you suggest, that this is going to be a much longer project, that this is not going to be a short-term project. Do you think that the consequence 10, 20, 30 years, looking beyond just Iraq, will be a public that is more skeptical, and rightly so, of the military leadership and the political leadership on military issues when they say, hey, we can just go into this country or that country and it's going to be, you know, no big deal?
I wish I could think that it would affect the American people that way. I worry that it won't. I can't, you know, because we learned all these lessons during Vietnam, and now we're learning them again. And it makes me think that maybe this is something that every generation of Americans has to learn, that you can't change everything through the barrel of a gun, that these things are much longer and harder. Maybe having done it twice in Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan, we'll be more careful next time.
I mean, frankly, what I worry about is the reselling or the revision of the war. That's what's actually, to me, about the 80s is so fascinating in relation to Vietnam, is that Vietnam was, the memory of Vietnam was re-remembered, right? You had Reagan telling us, oh, you know, the reason we lost Vietnam was because of this and this and this. We didn't bomb enough, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if we're going to start seeing a sales job, and I think you sort of see it obviously from the Bush people who say, you know, the president made all these great decisions and this is going to stand the test of time, that if the reselling, the retrospective reselling of whether Iraq was a good idea, a bad idea, a success or not a success, will actually impact our view of militarism moving forward.
I think it might. You could certainly see them arguing, you know, 10 or 15 years from now. You know, we did it was the right thing to do, even though everybody yells at us about it. In retrospect, we shouldn't have done Vietnam and we shouldn't have done Iraq. By the way, I think invading Afghanistan was the right thing to do after 9/11. And I speak as someone who's lived in Afghanistan and loves that country.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with the initial decision. The question is, it goes back to the same question. That was a war where most people agreed with the initial mission. I think the question on the Afghanistan war is now almost the same question on Iraq. How do you get out? When do you get out? What's the right move?
What the hell have we been doing there for the last 8 years?
Exactly. Again, on the line with us is Thomas Ricks. He's the Washington Post former senior Pentagon correspondent. He's at the Tatter Cover on Colfax tonight, 7:30 p.m. New paperback edition of his best-selling book, The Gamble, General David Petraeus and the American Military Adventure in Iraq. Last question for you. The leadership of the American military, your book focuses in on David Petraeus. I guess, have they learned anything from this? Has the military's leadership, has their worldview at all changed or not?
Enormously, I think. With this reservation, the military is not a monolith. Petraeus and the people around him are really kind of dissidents inside the Army even now. They're kind of seen as a bunch of pointy-headed intellectuals and all this cultural stuff. There are a lot of people in the U.S. military who aren't down with them, who want to get back to real soldiering, who didn't sign up to learn about cultures, who just want to go out and do some good killing. So I think there's kind of a fight going on inside the U.S. military about what the lessons are from this and kind of what sort of officers we need in the future down the road, what's the proper task for the U.S. military. There is a lot of intellectual ferment in the military, especially, I'd say, at the lieutenant, captain, and major level. These guys who have done 3, 4, 5 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan in the last few years, they've learned an awful lot. The challenge for the military as an institution is to not lose those lessons like we lost the lessons of Vietnam, very much in the military. This actually goes to your book. The military basically washed its hands of counterinsurgency in the 1970s, said we're not going to do that again, and actually like banned the word from its vocabulary, took it out of all its manuals.
That's really fascinating. And that was because, why was that?
Because they hated the fighting in Vietnam. It wasn't what they all had planned to do with their military careers. And because the American people told them, yeah, we're not going to do that again. If you actually, there's a book by Andrew Krepinevich called The Army and Vietnam that gets into how the Army basically cleansed itself of all the lessons of Vietnam in the late 70s and walked away from it.
There's a culture battle in here. I mean, and it sounds to me like what you're saying is that it's really the 80s Cold Warriors. We want to fight big wars, big theater, kill a lot of people, that kind of thing, versus a new culture that says, look, we got to do, I mean, I know this is a loaded term, but nation building, you know, building up culture, you know, cultural outreach, almost kind of a State Department.
Very much so, and says you have to work with the State Department. If you look at the Army's counterinsurgency manual, written under the auspices of Petraeus, it's very much almost Zen Buddhist in its approach. It talks about the contradictions of approach. The fewer people you kill, the greater your victory.
You know what's fascinating about that, really, if I can just add at the end here, what's really fascinating about it is that David Petraeus, among progressives, among liberals who look at him, he had become this kind of lightning rod. I think it was during the surge. Remember the Move On ad. But what you seem to be suggesting, and I'm sure you go over this in your book, is that actually at a kind of ideological level about what the military should and shouldn't be doing, he actually has some unorthodox and maybe even, you might even call them, progressive-leaning views.
Oh, I think absolutely so. You've got to remember in the Army, Petraeus has three strikes against him inside the U.S. Army, the reason that they see him as an outlier. Number one, he likes reporters and politicians. Number two, he had a successful first tour in Iraq, unlike most other generals. And three, he has a Ph.D. from Princeton. That three strikes and you're out. I think progressives made a mistake because Bush pushed him out there. Bush had no credibility in Iraq anymore, so Bush pushed Petraeus out there as the face of the Iraq war. Petraeus, being a good soldier, did what he was told to do and went out there. But I wouldn't blame him for doing what a president tells him to do.
Well, it's his commander-in-chief, right.
What you want your military to do is obey orders.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I think that we could have a whole separate conversation about whether General McChrystal has done that or not. Thomas Ricks, his book is The Gamble, General David Petraeus and the American Military Adventure in Iraq. He will be at the Tatter Cover tonight, 7:30 p.m. At the Tatter Cover on Colfax. Thomas Ricks, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
All right. 8:21 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll turn back now to our discussion that we were having about the Jefferson County school shooting. And I asked the question. I know it's a little bit of an uncomfortable question, but to step back and ask not what necessarily went right or wrong in this particular school shooting. I think actually a lot of things, luckily, thank God, broke the right way. But to ask the question, when you look at this in the context of so many other random shootings over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, what is going on here in our society? Does this say anything about our society? And what do you think it does say? This has become, random shootings have become a uniquely American phenomenon. You look at other industrialized nations, they simply do not have the concentration and the number, the raw numbers of random shootings. I'm not talking about premeditated violence. I'm not talking about, you know, somebody's grudge match. I'm talking about somebody walking in and shooting random people that they don't even know. That this has become, as a social phenomenon, a uniquely American phenomenon. Yeah, you got a couple once in a while over in Europe. But as something that happens, I mean, this happens every 6-8 weeks now, it feels like. What is it about our society that seems to have made this a unique and uniquely American phenomenon? 303-713-7600. We'll open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave. Traffic is a bear for us this morning. A lot of people moving around, and we have a few accidents and some bad spots. Southbound 225 at Yosemite, still sitting there. Speeds barely hitting the teens there. They're basically single digits from Iliff all the way down to 25. Also got a crash on the right shoulder, northbound I-25 near Orchard Road. Another one up north, actually it's debris in the road, spilled load at Colfax on on the northbound side. Also looking at an accident on the turnpike eastbound at Pecos. Delays all the way back past Sheridan. Here's our surface street crashes. Evans and Dahlia, northbound Parker at Hamden, and Chambers and Yale. Forecast, mostly sunny to start. Afternoon clouds, but warm. Highs in the upper 40s. Right now, 27 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides. And it's customizable so you can live life, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Sign up for free. Go to WeightWatchers.com and start today. Weight Watchers Online. Stop dieting. Start living. Sign up fee waived with purchase of 3-month savings plan. Automatically renews until you cancel. Hurry, offer ends March 13th.
1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Sears Auto Center. Their ASC certified technicians know cars inside and out. Visit SearsAuto.com. Sears, life well spent.
A car accident is bad enough. So that's why GEICO makes it easy to file a claim. You can do it online or over the phone. Then you go to GEICO.com to track your claim, view photos of the damage, or print an estimate. And for as long as you own your car, repairs are guaranteed when you use a GEICO recommended repair shop. GEICO's easy peasy lemon squeezy claim service, they call it. Okay, it's just me that calls it that.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, that stack of money over there with the googly eyes, is that the money you're going to be saving with GEICO?
It's the money I am saving with GEICO. He helped me buy this pool table.
Nice. So what else does he do? Can he tell jokes?
Seriously, Kevin, he's a stack of money. He doesn't tell jokes. He just blinks and buys me stuff.
Oh, well, I just thought...
Money can't talk. That's ridiculous. Why do you always take it too far?
Me? I know
it's real. To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
With its unique combination of high resale value and 3-year 36,000-mile no-cost maintenance, the 37-mile-per-gallon Mini Cooper is a smart buy. You could say it delivers fiscally prudent, environmentally sensitive, flat-out, full-on, go-for-broke, no-holds-barred, white-knuckle go-kart handling motoring excitement starting at $19,500. Or you could just say it's a smart buy. Right now, get 1.9% APR financing on all 2010 models. Learn more at miniusa.com/info.
MSRP includes destination and handling, excludes license, registration, taxes, and options.
So, what would you do if you were Miss Northern Hemisphere?
If I could change one thing in the world, I would build lots of La Quinta Inns and Suites. They would have new, inviting lobbies and thousands of new, refreshing rooms. They'd be even better than before!
But La Quinta already did that.
I love La Quinta and clouds.
Wake up on the bright side at La Quinta Inns and Suites. Book now at LQ.com or 800-SLEEP-LQ.
La Quinta.
Coming up Wednesday on the Tom Hartman program, a rat is a pig is a dog is a boy. Do we as humans owe animals rights? Do we have an obligation to ensure their humane treatment? Or is the animal rights movement just radically anti-human dogma, as conservative Wesley Smith states in his new book? It's going to be a rumble when we look at both sides of this issue, with Wesley Smith of the Discovery Institute in one corner and a representative from PETA in the other.
It's the Tom Hartman program, 1 to 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
827 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to reopen our discussion about the shooting down in Jefferson County at Deer Creek Middle School. What is it about? What does it say about us as a society? Because you always have to ask these questions. How do you prevent it in the future? Right? I mean, that's the ultimate goal here, right? We don't want these things to be happening. And in order for them not to happen, I think we have to ask deep questions. I think we have to ask, what about our society has made these kinds of random shootings so common? You can go to our website, am760.net, shoot us an instant message, am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page. Also, before I forget, I want to mention, when you're at our website, as most of you know, Tom Hartman and I will be hosting an event at the Tatter Cover in Lodo this March 5th, courtesy of Best Way Installation. The event is right now sold out. However, I have a way to get you into the show. Register on am760.net, right on the front page, and you're registering not only for a pair of tickets to the event, but you'll also be registering to win a VIP happy hour with Tom and I before the show. We're going to get a couple beers, have a few laughs, your troubles are over. That's a line from Lebowski if you haven't seen The Big Lebowski. Register now and then listen for your name every day next week at 7:45 a.m. That's at am760.net. We're getting some of your instant messages here. Let me read a couple before we get back to the phones here. This is from, I guess it's Marlin. I agree with you that the frustration that leads to violent outbursts does stem from people not believing that anybody cares about their complaints. It's the worst possible response and one taken by people on the edge. But Americans are so into punishment that many are scornful of those concerned about listening to the perpetrator's complaints. It reminds me of our response to 9/11. This is from Ken. The events of the past few days, the man who flew a plane into the IRS and yesterday's school shooting, sounds like life imitating art. In 1991, Terry Gilliam masterfully directed The Fisher King, where a radio DJ incited violence from his listening audience. While there's no evidence yet that yesterday's shooter at the Deer Creek School was a listener of right-wing radio, there's considerable evidence that the IRS terrorist attacker certainly was. This is from Mike in Firestone. I'm tired of the Austin nut who attacked the IRS building being called a terrorist. When somebody attacks his own government, this is treason. The man should be called a traitor. That's a good point, Mike. David, I think you're right on the money with the analysis of the archetypes. Fueling the actions of the loner, me-first personality in our society is a societal myth that believes the only way to confront evil is through violence. Once the me-first person has the idea something or someone is evil, this societal myth then provides the perfect framework for violence. Glenn Beck is operating around the same myth. David, I think this slipped past you. This is from Jim in Broomfield. I think this slipped past you with your caller before at the top of the hour. Understandable, because the guy was on that crazy rant, quote-unquote crazy rant. He said the IRS bankrupted him. He's talking about the Texas bomber. That is the way many people are starting to comment on this, blaming the IRS for their individual mishandling of their money and blaming the IRS for bankrupting them rather than, as we've been talking about, seeing taxes as something that we pay to build our society. Let's go to the phones. Gwen in Lakewood. Gwen, you're on AM760.
Hey, David. This is an important discussion. We do need to get this figured out. And I agree with your sociological comments. It is partly a reflection on our culture at this moment. I agree with some of the psychological statements that you and others have made this morning. There is something not normal by cultural standards in the way these people think, but I want to bring up one other dimension that's easy to see in this case and certain others, and that's the neurological. It may not just be that he is a me-first kind of guy, because he and his dad both have Native American names within their name. That means their blood, and that means to me that I would look to see if there was fetal alcohol effect or fetal alcohol syndrome effects in his brain.
That's a good point, and I want to add to that point by noting that a number of instant messengers have sent us instant messages saying that on 9 News, and I looked at this, on 9 News, his father seemed to suggest that he was hearing voices and that he did not have access to medicines or health care. And some people have said, well, if he had access to health care, and treatment for mental illness before, that maybe this kind of thing could have been his kind of going over the edge could have been prevented. And the same thing, and you mentioned fetal alcohol problems because of the unfortunately high prevalence of alcoholism, the disease of alcoholism among Native Americans. And I think that goes to the deeper point that sure, that if we had a healthcare system that was holistic and had everybody involved in it, then some of these problems could be mitigated. Now you would say, well, Sirota's now saying that if we had government health care, this shooting wouldn't have happened. Well, I'm not necessarily saying that. What I'm saying is it's kind of like, let me put it this way, and for Lost viewers, let's see if the Lost viewers can follow me. On the show Lost, there are these two alternate realities that are happening, right? And the whole idea is that if one thing changes, all sorts of things change, not just the one thing you think you're changing, right? And so you're right. You can't say if we had a government healthcare system, this shooting wouldn't have happened. What I would say is this. If we had a society that actually cared about each other, we would have something like a universal healthcare system. And that society would look way different than the society we live in today. Maybe the shooting still would have happened, but you know what? Maybe it wouldn't have. To simply say, oh, all this is a product of is a we need to lock up the door and throw away the key, I just think that's not true. And I think that the problem that you identify, the healthcare issue, if this was in part issue, I think it's the same thing as the criminal justice issue. If it's a failure to rehabilitate this guy who the criminal justice system clearly knew could be a problem, that, again, goes right back to the idea of what do we fund in this society, what do we prioritize in this society, and what don't we? A society that is the me-first, screw-everybody-else society doesn't fund a universal healthcare system, isn't interested in rehabilitating people.
But even our current healthcare system doesn't think to do a brain scan on people to find out what they're capable of doing cognitively.
I couldn't agree more in the sense that you're right. It all goes back. I mean, it's neurological. We call it neurological mental health. I mean, there's some overlap there. I couldn't agree more with you, Gwen. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jane in Westminster. Jane, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
You probably know from different things talking to me that I get out there and I try to talk to people and encourage them to become part of the solution and get out there and do their vote. So at this point, I'm making calls to people and I'm having a chance to interact. And I guess what I'm doing is kind of, in my own mind, contrasting, you know, the difference between now and just, say, a year ago. People were excited and they were hopeful and they felt that they had elected maybe a person rather, because, you know, they don't tend to vote down ticket, someone that was going to get health care for him, who was going to maybe change the odds for him. And, you know, now when I'm talking to him, I'm hearing, you know, what's possible. I mean, you know, the people that, you know, I stood up to, you know, to get elected and stuff, I'm just wondering now what good it did for me. That's the kind of thing I'm hearing.
Well, Jane, I'm really glad you bring up this point. And it's on my blog right now. People can click over to openleft.com. I have a blog post up about, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. And I think that's part of the political dynamic right now in this country, which is that hopes were raised so high in 2008, and that I think a lot of people have been demoralized by a president and a political party, the Democratic Party, which has not made a good effort, a solid effort to deliver on those changes. And I think that the conservative movement has effectively and opportunistically capitalized on that with their campaign of me first, screw everybody else. They said, look, you believed Obama and the Democrats were going to change things. They haven't. Come back to us. Come back to your anger. I kind of see it in Star Wars terms, right? They're like telling Luke Skywalker, you know, come on over to the dark side. The Emperor's saying, you know, feel your anger. Right? That's the whole dark light Jedi versus the dark side of the Force kind of thing going on. And I think it has broad ramifications for the society at large. It sows anger. There's a ton of anger out there. And there's a lot of demoralization. And that demoralization is being increasingly fired through, again, the me first, screw everybody else culture. I think it's a great point. Jane, thanks for the call. 8:37 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Kevin, you're up next. We'll get to your call. We'll take some more calls after the break. Also, we'll fill you in on some more local news. Speaking of the economy driving people nuts, 20% of Colorado mortgages upside down right now. And now Denver is 15th in the nation in terms of its traffic problems. We'll fill you in on that. Take more of your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Man, we're still working this crash, trying to get out of Aurora, southbound 2 1/4 near Yosemite. Still looking at traffic barely moving all the way back past Iliff, approaching Mississippi. Other crash, eastbound 36 at Pecos, causing delays around Church Ranch now. So those are extending all the way into the Broomfield area. Stalled bus on the right shoulder, southbound I-25 near I-70. Also cleaning up a couple crashes on the surface streets, northbound Parker at Hamden, and a three-car accident at Evans and Dahlia. Forecast should be mostly sunny in the a.m. A few clouds will roll through this afternoon. Nice and warm, high of 40. 49. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with possible afternoon snow showers, but little accumulation, if any, in the metro. Highs are going to be in the mid-40s, currently 27 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ralph Schott Mini, now offering special 3.9% APR financing and an upgrade to automatic transmission at no additional cost. Learn more at RalphSchottMini.com.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text speakup to 411-247.
Mary Kemet and her associates at Incredible Smiles, they provide all of your dental needs in one location up in Boulder. Dental needs are a big part of health care. Don't forget that. They provide more than just a beautiful smile. They help you maintain a healthy mouth, service, invisible braces, all porcelain crowns, Incredible Smiles veneers, laser cleanings, even sleep studies and solutions for snorers. Don't think sleep is not a big part of health, and don't think it has nothing to do with dental health. It really does. I took the sleep study. If you're not sleeping well, you call up Lori and her Incredible Smiles, 303-77-SMILE. That's 303-77-SMILE. Tell them you want to take the sleep study. They got these headsets there. You just go home, sleep one night with the headset on. You come back, they tell you how you're sleeping, and if you got snoring issues, sleep apnea issues, the basic dental procedures you can get to deal with that. Give them a call today, 303-77-SMILE. That's 303-777-6453. On the web at IncredibleSmiles.com. Give Lori and her associates at Incredible Smiles a call. Again, 303-77-SMILE. Tell them Sirota sent you. You won't regret it.
Hi, this is Troy Hampshire, host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Join us every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on AM 760. We are your 401k rollover and IRA specialist. Give your money the power and protection that you need every Saturday morning, 11 a.m., Dollars and Cents on AM 760.
You filed for divorce yourself. Now you're wondering how to get some advice. Get your questions answered Sundays on Talking Divorce with Peggy Spiro. Straight facts from attorneys, financial experts, and mental health experts each Sunday. Because we're Talking Divorce Sundays from 11 to noon, right here on AM 760.
Some bad economic news coming out of Colorado today, here on the 24th of February. It is a beautiful day out there, but this news is not so good. This is from the Denver Business Journal. Of all Colorado home mortgage borrowers, 1 in 5, or 20%, were in negative equity or upside down at the end of 2009. That means the borrower owed more on the mortgage than the home was worth. That's pretty bad news. However, Denver home prices have been rising a little bit, so that's good news, if only because they have dropped a fairly substantial amount over the last year or two. Also from the Denver Business Journal, Denver ranks 15th in the United States for 2009 traffic congestion. Denver has the 15th worst traffic congestion out of 100 U.S. cities, and it's gotten a bit worse over the last few years, according to a new ranking by a traffic data firm. The annual scorecard compares traffic data for the full year of 2009 to previous years. Colorado Springs ranked number 88 on this list. They're the only other Colorado city on that list. And if you're interested, L.A., of course, the top spot. No shock there. New York, second. Chicago, third. D.C., fourth. Dallas, fifth. Houston, San Francisco, Boston, Seattle, and Philadelphia. So, not such great news. We're talking about the Jefferson County shooting down there at Deer Creek Middle School. What do you think it says about our society at large? Is it gun laws? Is it a deeper ethos that says, me first, screw everybody else? Is it our failure to rehabilitate people with a long rap sheet of violent crimes as this suspected shooter had. What do you think is going on here? 303-713-7600. Kevin in Lakewood. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hi, Dave. Hey, I agree with your observations that this is much cultural insofar as the right-wing hate speech and me attitude. But a caller a little bit ago said something to the effect that, you know, if this guy wouldn't have had a gun, he would have found a way to get what he was going to get done. And, you know, first of all, that's probably not true because we do know that he was mentally ill. It was even on your news, CBS News update at the top of the hour. And if he didn't have access to a gun while he had his psychotic break, it probably wouldn't happen, and he would have come out of his psychotic break at some level, and it probably wouldn't happen. But secondly, statistically, data just proves that that's an absolute ridiculous statement. And if you look at everywhere where they have gun control and people don't have access to guns so easily, it's not like that they have an increase of people, you know, finding clubs to beat people with or stabbing people with a knife. They have fewer deaths because of violence, whether it's for guns or other reasons, and it's because people they lose their control and they have too much access to guns, and we need to do something about
that. Except for one problem. I mean, there's one problem, and I look north to Canada, right? And Michael Moore made this point in his book, in his movie Bowling for Columbine. I mean, Canada is awash in hunting weaponry. I mean, and this shooter, at least this one, and there's been other shootings, obviously, that use assault weapons, non-hunting weapons, really killing weapons, killing machines. But this shooter used a hunting weapon. In Canada, up there, they're awash in hunting weapons. And by the way, I used to live in Montana, right? Montana's a mini version of Canada in that sense. And there's, you know, a lot of guns up there, relatively little gun crime. And so I don't necessarily disagree that there's something to the idea that the easier it is to get a gun, and especially a rapid fire gun like a handgun or an assault weapon, the easier it is to get that, there's going to be some impact on somebody taking a crime that might have been a fist fight and turning it into a gun battle. I agree with that, but to the level that we've gotten to now, right, where we have these random shootings, I got to believe it's also something more than just guns lying around.
Well, I think it's a mixture of things. And while your observation on Canada is true, but if you look at places where people don't have guns, they don't have this problem. And just because Canada also doesn't mean that access to guns isn't part of this problem. And I agree that we create a culture that adds to this, but I think the gun problem is part of this issue.
I can't disagree. I mean, and the thing is, and I know this frustrates people, right, is that not you, but lots of people out there want to tune into the media, and particularly this is conservative media, they want to tune in and they want easy answers, right? They want an easy answer. They want, you know, they want, oh, they should have just locked this guy up and thrown away the key and no problem. Or, I mean, that's, and you know what? Something like this, there's no easy answer. There are many, many factors in something like this, in the societal phenomenon that this shooting represents. And I can't disagree with you, man. I can't. Guns are at least a part of this. Are they the formative part? I don't necessarily think so, especially in this case. The guy was using a hunting rifle, not an assault weapon. But there are going to be people out there who want to say it has nothing to do with guns. And I think you're right. I think that's ridiculous, too. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Let's go to, who's been holding the longest here? Let's go to Russ in Littleton. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. You know, one of the things I wanted to point out, and it's actually kind of two levels. On the first level, I think this shows the disconnect between the leadership of the Republican Party and the rank and file in terms of their platform, because I think if you talk to most rank-and-file Republicans, they wouldn't be talking about isolation. In fact, they'd be talking about the pioneer spirit and barn-raising and communities coming together and that sort of thing. I think on the second level, what this speaks to is a fundamental structural problem with the whole model of unrestrained free capitalism. I don't know how many economists have already pointed out that if you have unrestrained free capitalism, it leads all inevitably to monopoly and to rich people owning and controlling everything, fascism.
Well, and I also think that as an economic model, the other thing that it does is that it it tells us that we are all economic islands unto ourselves. It is not an economic model. What we have here in this country, I don't think, is fully free market capitalism at all. But as a model, I think it has problems in the sense that it does not build a sense of community, right? The underlying thesis of what our economy says to us right now is that we are all in this together, right? And that creates a situation where a lot of people don't even know their neighbor. A lot of people barely ever go to a PTA meeting. I mean, it's the whole bowling alone phenomenon. There's certainly an economic component to this. You could make the argument that if we had more what Robert Putnam, the author of Bowling Alone, says, more social capital, more sense of community, that this problem, this particular shooter, somebody in the community way early on would have said, hey, this guy's got a problem, and we have to have some infrastructure, some programs that help deal with people like this. You could make the argument that this is a reflection on our super, super lack of social capital. I think it's a good point, and there is, as you said, there's an economic component to that. 849 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Up next, we'll fill you in on some bad news from the U.S. Senate. Where else bad news can now come in from the U.S. Senate? The Democrats saying that they're warming to reconciliation for health care, but they're going to use reconciliation, the 51 votes, bill without a public option? Really? Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave, still got a couple crashes out there. Southbound 225 near Yosemite. Speeds are popping up into the teens and 20s now, but still delays all the way back past Iliff. Same deal coming in from Broomfield on the turn. Pike eastbound from about Wadsworth to Pecos. That's the site of another crash and a bus stall. Right shoulder southbound I-25 near I-70 once you get closer to downtown. Three-car crash still slowing folks down at Evans and Dahlia. Also got this crash in Aurora, northbound Parker Road at Hamden. The forecast, mostly sunny to start. Afternoon clouds, but warm. Highs in the upper 40s. Right now, 29 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Kohl's Kids Who Care Scholarship Program will recognize more than 2,000 real kids with scholarships and prizes. Nominate a stand-up kid at kohlskids.com by March 15th.
This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides. And it's customizable so you can live life, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Sign up for free. Go to WeightWatchers.com and start today. Weight Watchers Online. Stop dieting. Start living. Sign up fee waived with purchase of 3-month savings plan. Automatically renews until you cancel. Hurry. Offer ends March 13th.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered prices throughout the store on items pros use the most. Right now, instantly save $50 to $250 when you spend $500 or more on any in-stock bathroom products. Savings like that can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through February 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
If you're a man who wants to feel confident in the bedroom and have the longest, most powerful sexual experiences possible, the time has come. Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Sandor, and I want to tell you about the revolutionary herbal supplement for male enhancement, Zencore Plus. Zencore Plus will work for you. Zencore Plus performs the first time and every time, guaranteed. Just take Zencore 45 minutes before sexual activity and you'll experience powerful results. In fact, we are so sure you'll love Zencore's tremendous results that we want to send you a free sample so you can try Zencore for yourself. Once you try it, there's no doubt that you will become one of Zencore's thousands of satisfied customers.
Find out how to get your free supply of Zencore before it's too late. Call 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986. Size does matter. Don't miss out on your free supply. 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986.
Some bad news from the U.S. Senate that I just want to fill you in on. I know you're really shocked that the U.S. Senate is giving us bad news. God, these people, I swear, this House of Lords, really, a real, real problem right now. Volcker rule stalls in the Senate. Key senators are expected to scrap President Obama's proposal to prohibit commercial banks from certain risky trading activities, people familiar with the matter said. A setback for the administration and a big win for Wall Street. The proposal has been dubbed the Volcker rule. It would have essentially prevented any commercial bank with federally insured deposits. That's me and you, the taxpayer, insuring their deposits. It would have prevented those banks from owning a division that makes speculative bets with its own capital. So it would have prevented you and I from guaranteeing, backing the bets, the speculative bets of banks. That's how bought off the U.S. Senate is. Meanwhile, the headline in the Politico is Senate Democrats warm to reconciliation, an idea that seemed toxic only weeks ago, is gaining acceptance among moderate Democrats to pass health care. And yet, the headline from the Hill newspaper, key Democrats, the public option is dead. So these guys apparently are going to pass or considering passing a health care bill through majority rules and yet with no public option. Unbelievable if that is what happens. We'll go back to the phones now, talking about the Jefferson County shooting down there at Deer Creek Middle School. What is it all about? What do you think this says about our society at large, if anything? David in Denver. David, you're on AM760.
Hey, this is David in Denver. I'm a mental health professional. I heard the tail end of a caller saying that we need to give people brain scans because then we could know whether they're mentally ill. And I just wanted to comment on how that's absolutely false.
Well, in fairness, okay. she was suggesting that that people with particular health conditions may have actual neurological issues, and she was mentioning that it sounds that like the suspect may have Native American heritage, and she was suggesting that because alcoholism is such a problem, a disease in the Native American population, that somebody like this with a rap sheet like this may have suffered from some neurological issues. So I agree with you. I tried to make the distinction, but there's mental health issues and then there's neurological issues. But go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I mean, in the pathophysiology of schizophrenia or any other mental health disorder is not something that can be elucidated by any sort of brain scan
that we
currently have. And so, you know, but I agree as a whole that we've got a serious mental health crisis in this country. Funding seems to keep going down. The types of intensive treatments that people need are eschewed for, you know, just a, which doesn't work.
Right.
There's a lot of meta-analyses that suggest that they're...
Let me ask you, as a mental health professional, I mean, how much of an impact do environmental factors play? I don't mean environmental like chemicals. I mean like sort of the ethos of the society. How much can that exacerbate people's mental health issues? I mean, if you live in a nurturing community versus if you live in a part of the country or a community that's particularly not nurturing, can that really exacerbate at the individual level these problems?
I would say to a great degree. I'm actually a hardcore behaviorist. I rely very much on contextualism for a lot of my treatments. And I would say absolutely. We live in a culture where it's assumed that if you're not happy every day, there's something wrong with you. You need to take a pill to fix this, where the pill actually ends up making things worse for you. And we're caught in this struggle where we're trying to live up to what society says that we're supposed to be, and we can't do it. And people sink further and further into depression when taking antidepressants.
And you know what? I have to believe that not only is it it's not only a geographic issue, right? It's that you've got, I mean, the media, when you turn on the television, that's a whole other place that so many people live. And to your point about how these expectations that everybody has to be happy and expectations of what defines happiness, very often, in fact, most often in the world of TV where so many people live so much of their lives watching TV, the expectations are unreachable. And I think it's a really good point. Hey, David, thanks so much for the call, man. Gina in Wheat Ridge. Gina, you're on AM760.
Good morning.
Morning.
What I want to talk about is when you talk about mental health, you've kind of talked about it in the abstract. And I'd like to point out in Colorado that they're closing hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
At Fort Logan, they are closing, I think they've already closed the adolescent unit. They've already closed the geriatric unit.
Right. This is part of the Governor Ritter's controversial budget cuts a couple
right,
of weeks ago.
Right. And I think these are probably not the cuts to, if you want to solve some problems, I think you need to tend to the people that do have problems.
Gina, this is. I'm really glad you brought it back to something that is really tangible here in the state. That it's not that, and I know there are going to be people out there who are going to send us emails who are going to say, oh, you're saying that if you just kept the hospital open, that this shooting wouldn't have happened. No, that's not what I hear you saying. What you're saying is that over the long haul, what you fund and don't fund has an impact in all sorts of ways that can end up becoming terrible tragedies.
Well, yes, and the fact is a lot more people kill themselves, actually commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I know of a new friend that I have. Her husband tried to kill himself on Valentine's Day. He was a manic depressive. I guess he put him in the hospital for a few days, and then he went into hospice.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't go into hospice because he was dying, which he could have died because the doctor said it was a pretty bad situation. But they put him in hospice because they didn't have any place else to put him and to keep him off the street.
And the thing is that you're exactly right. It speaks to where we are putting our resources and where we aren't, and it's a really, really important point. And I'm glad you brought it back to a concrete example. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, up next, speaking of me first, screw everybody else societies, we're going to talk about Europe next.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. This is the day of the much-anticipated appearance of Akio Toyota before a House panel probing the rapid acceleration problems plaguing the company's cars. The ranking Republican on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, California's Daryl Issa, says there will be tough questions for the grandson of Toyota's founder and also David Strickland, the new head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
There's no question that NHTSA is both guilty of welcoming in its revolving door former employees and, in case after case, abandoning investigations that they'd already decided had some merit.
As part of its campaign to woo buyers back to showrooms, Toyota is reportedly planning to offer incentives. Michelle Krebs is with Edmunds.com.
We're hearing rumblings about extended warranties and maybe free service. They're mulling over a lot of ideas. Certainly it will be aggressive.
Well, the Senate has just okayed a jobs bill with bipartisan support. The final tally 70-28. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein with a story.
New York Democrat Charles Schumer argued jobs is a top priority.
We have an imperative to do something. We have to put these people back to work.
But Republican Judd Gregg of New Hampshire charged too much spending.
Puts in place a glide path, it should be called a nosedive, towards $140 billion of new debt being put on our children's back.
Though other Republicans, like James Inhofe of Oklahoma, supported it.
We've got to do something here instead of worrying about and spending all of our money, as this administration is doing, in social engineering. We need to start building bridges and roads and repairing them.
Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington. It was a bad month for new home sales. The Commerce Department says they fell by more than 11% in January to a record low level. Walter Maloney's with the National Association of Home Builders.
Builders have pulled back on construction intentionally to support the price of properties that are on the market, and that is reflected now in very tight inventory. The other factor is developers are having a big problem in getting construction loans.
The drop was a surprise to analysts who had expected sales to bounce back. 2 days after he was hospitalized complaining of chest pains, former Vice President Dick Cheney's been released. His aides say he suffered a mild heart attack but is feeling well and plans to resume his normal schedule shortly. Cheney's had a series of heart attacks over the past 30 years. The U.S. men hope to skate a little closer to the gold medal when they take to the ice at the Winter Games. Here's CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
They have suddenly become the team to beat. The undefeated U.S. men's hockey team takes on Switzerland today in a quarterfinal match. U.S. defenseman Ryan Suter says he has been somewhat overwhelmed by the Olympic experience.
You know, the Olympics is maybe the biggest stage there is in the world. I don't know if anything can prepare you for this.
If the U.S. can win today, the Americans advance to the semifinals. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver.
Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow up 97 points, the NASDAQ 25. This is CBS News.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe, who is beginning to hear things
about service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships.
Right, I knew that.
Yeah, what I hear is this. These people work hard. They also work smart. They get a lot of training from Ford and have a lot of natural ability on their own. Look, when you need to get something done on your car, isn't that who you want working on it? It seems like a no-brainer to me.
I hear you, Mike.
I wasn't talking to you.
Right. Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service. For special offers, visit genuineservice.com.
No-brainer.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Deer Creek and neighboring Stony Creek schools in Littleton are closed today after yesterday's shooting that wounded two students. A girl who was hit was released from the hospital, but a boy remains in critical condition at Children's. Police arrested 32-year-old Bruce O. Eastwood. They have not determined a motive. Here's what one witness saw.
I heard a gunshot and everybody started running away. I was a little confused, and then I saw the shooter. I saw him put out a second shot. And that's when the bus driver told us all to get down, so we got down.
Counselors will be available for students today. Governor Bill Ritter has signed a bill that cuts state employee retirement benefits to prevent the pension system from going broke. The governor called it a difficult but necessary decision. The pension system covers 450,000 state workers. Officials warned that without changes, the pension plan would go broke in 20 years. In sports, it was another good day for Colorado athletes at the Olympic Games in Vancouver. The Nordic combined team won the silver medal. That's the first time the U.S. has medaled in that event. The team features Steamboat Springs residents Todd Lodwick and Johnny Spillane. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where the Denver-bound lanes of eastbound 36 still struggling. We had an earlier accident right around Pecos. Just as soon as they got that out of your way, sounds like we got reports of another crash. This one's right around Church Ranch. Southbound is on 225, very late to recover coming around that Parker curve. An earlier crash near Yosemite is the cause of those delays. We've got a stalled-out bus on the right shoulder of southbound I-25 near I-70, causing some delays as you're trying to get downtown. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day with a high of about 48, 49 degrees to go along with these sunny skies. Currently just a little bit breezy, but it's already 34 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Right now. Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snow plow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
The 24th of February, 30 degrees out there. Kind of partly cloudy, but a real nice day. At least I can see the mountains from here. We've been talking about the Jefferson County school shooting, obviously the A1 story of the day here in Colorado. And we've been talking about it through the prism of what it says about our society. And we've got a big battle going on in this country, I think, about whether we value and whether we prioritize community, whether we prioritize that we're all in this together, or whether we prioritize individuality and everybody's on their own. And as we have this debate in our country, other countries have had this debate as well, other industrialized countries. And so joining us now in studio is Stephen Hill. He is the author of the new book, Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. The book, 10 Years in the Making, it's the story about how post-World War II Europe has transformed itself into a model of how a modern society or at least one model of how a modern society can develop itself. He is the director of the political reform program at the New America Foundation. You can find his work at newamerica.net. Stephen Hill, thanks for coming in studio today.
My pleasure, David. Great to be here.
So let's start at the very top of this. You hear right now in this country a lot of bashing of Europe. Now, you heard this, there was a spasm of it around the post 9/11 aftermath and the lead up to the Iraq War. Conservatives, you know, the freedom fries, upset with the French that they didn't want to help us out or help invade Iraq with us. Now you hear it come back again, that from the Reich, the Glenn Becks of the world, saying, you know, the Democrats in the Congress are trying to turn us into a Euro-socialism. We have a local right-wing radio host here, Mike Rosen, on 850 KOA, who constantly drones on about how the Democrats totally want to create, make this country a Euro-socialist utopia. Before we get into what Europe actually is, do you believe that there's any truth to that when you look at just the politics here and knowing what you know about Europe? Do you believe that's anywhere related to the truth?
No, it's not at all. I mean, you know, America is quite different from Europe in many ways, but Europe is quite different from what many Americans believe about it, too. I, you know, when I first began doing research in Europe, I had a lot of the similar assumptions and even stereotypes and myths about Europe, that it's a, you know, weak, sclerotic economy. This is socialism, red tape, bureaucracy strangling their businesses. And I found out exactly quite the opposite. Europe has the largest economy in the world. Nearly a third of the world's economy is from Europe. It's nearly as large as the United States and China combined. Europe has more Fortune 500 companies than the United States and China combined. It has more small businesses than the United States.
And when you say that, give us a sense of its what you're counting Europe population-wise versus the United States population. Are we talking about roughly the same, a little bit more?
Europe is large. The EU27 has about 500,000 people. We have 300 million.
Half a billion.
Half a billion.
Right. 500 million versus right. So similar, not so. And what you're saying is an economy of 500,000,000 people. Now let me do the back of the envelope math. Is what? China's about 1.3 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
So an economy that's 500,000,000 people, they're economically, they are bigger or as big as an economy combined U.S. and China, which is 1.6 billion.
That's correct.
That's just an amazing statistic.
We think of the United States as the place of small businesses, which in many ways it is. But Europe actually has more small businesses that produce two-thirds of the jobs in Europe, whereas in the United States, small business produces about half the jobs. The idea that this is socialism, when they have more Fortune 500 companies, more small businesses, is just ridiculous. But what Europe has figured out how to do is to take the ability of capitalism. And there's no question that capitalism creates a lot of wealth.
So in your mind, Europe is a capitalist.
Europe is capitalist, completely capitalist. But they figured out how to take capitalism's ability to create wealth, which it does quite well, but there's an outstanding issue there. Whose pockets does that wealth go into? Who gets that money? Europe has figured out how to create this more broadly shared prosperity by putting not just more money in more people's pockets, but also putting it into things like healthcare, more generous retirement pensions, paid sick leave, paid parental leave after you have a child. University in Europe is, depending on the country, is some countries it's still free, and some countries now you pay a little bit of money. Nothing is much, nowhere near as much as we pay here in the United States. Childcare is, you know, a fraction in Europe of what you have to pay here in the United States. So many, many ways, and of course this is called the welfare state. But as one British analyst put it to me, this isn't welfare as you Americans know it, because welfare you think of people kicking back on the dole. In fact, in the book I call it workfare. It's about how do you support families and individuals to help them stay healthy and productive in this age of globalized capitalism where we're having so much economic insecurity? So that's completely different from what the standard of Europe is in the United States.
Now, it seems to me that what we hear so often is what you're saying in relation to this is that we hear so often that allocating society's capital is best left in completely or as privatized a hands as possible. The more private making about allocations of capital, the better. So you've got a situation on Wall Street. So much of Wall Street, Wall Street comprises a much bigger chunk. The financial industry comprises a much bigger chunk of our economy, and its business is allocating capital, right? It connects, theoretically, investors to capital. Is it fair to say that that one big difference between the United States and Europe is that while we rely on private institutions, more on private institutions like Wall Street to allocate society's capital, Europe relies a little bit more on public institutions to allocate their capital, to make sure that more of their capital is going into certain things. Now, this is what happens. If this is true, you know, that's what conservatives say. Well, you're talking about a state-directed command economy.
No, not necessarily. Again, that's a stereotype. For example, with healthcare, you know, the myth is that all of Europe has socialized medicine, single payer. And in fact, it's not true. Most in Europe do not have single payer or socialized medicine, as it's called. Britain does, Sweden does, but France, Germany, Belgium, Switzerland do not. And what is every worker, about 7% of your salary is taken out for your health care, and then the employer will pay 7%, sometimes a little bit higher. But, for example, Germany has 200 private insurance companies that form the backbone of their healthcare system, just like we have private insurance companies. Here's the key difference. Those private insurance companies are all nonprofits. They've taken profit out of the system. And then also, every year or two, they negotiate every fee and a service is negotiated for a price. And so everybody knows when you go into a French doctor's office, for example, you see a menu, services they all charge that. Try looking at your insurance bill to see if you can figure out what.
I've tried.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It's completely opaque. And so basically they have nonprofit insurance companies. They negotiate costs, kind of like what we do in Medicare. And as a result of that, they pay a lot less per capita. In the U.S., we're paying 16 to 17% per capita for healthcare, in 8%. France is one of the higher ones, about 11%. France has the highest healthcare system, rated healthcare system in the world. So it's not simply the case that it's just all big government there. They have a lot of private sector operations in all sorts of different ways. Here's one of the other myths that I think is important for you listeners to think about. One of the other myths, well, okay, they have all this workfare, as I call welfare, state, whatever, but they pay a lot more in taxes. And actually, it turns out that that's a myth, too, because if you're an American paying higher health care premiums, higher deductibles, higher co-payments, and a European is getting all of their health care for just a simple deduction, or if you're paying, one of my siblings is saving, you know, he's estimating $50,000, maybe $100,000 per child for a university education. There, they're getting it for free or nearly so. Child care. In the United States, average family with two children pays about $12,000 a year in child care. In Europe, depending on the country, they're paying $1,500 to $2,500 per year. On and on and on.
I mean, what you're saying is that there's
we pay a lot more out of pocket.
Yeah,
here.
There's a I mean, it's all money, right?
It's all
of
money.
These things.
Exactly.
It just depends on where you're paying it. You're either paying it to the government or you're paying it to the private corporation.
Right.
And I think this is totally lost in our tax debate.
Well, in the Forbes Tax Misery Index, they'll look at just income tax and things like sales tax, and they'll say, oh, there's Europe up there,
exactly,
the most tax miserable, and there's the United States down there happy as a clam around Indonesia and Malaysia.
And we talk on this show all the time about how the tax debate in this country is a one-sided debate. We only talk about taxes. We don't talk about what we get back for taxes. And when we talk about taxes, we don't talk about healthcare premiums to a private corporation,
exactly,
as a tax. Again, in studio with us is Stephen Hill. His new book, Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. Up next, I will ask Stephen Hill about why Europe has evolved economically in such a different way from us. Is it cultural? Is it the fact that we're a more ethnically and racially diverse country? That theory has been thrown out there before. What is it about Europe that has made it so different from the United States, even though we are both industrialized economies? Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is still busy for us in some spots around town. Going to see it on 225 southbound between Iliff and Yosemite. That's due to an earlier accident. Also, northbound are struggling from Parker Road up past Mississippi. Still have this stalled bus. It's on the right-hand shoulder southbound I-25 near I-70. Brake lights starting to happen back around 48th Ave. Also, just cleaned up that accident on eastbound Turnpike at Pecos. Things are starting to improve there as well. This crash in Denver at Evans and Dahlia still messing folks up. That's near I-25. Three cars involved there. Also, a crash in the cleanup phase northbound Parker Road at Hamden. Forecast today should be mostly sunny in the a.m., few clouds this afternoon. Nice and warm, though, a high near 49. Doesn't that sound good? Right now, 37 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Total customer care. That's what makes Midas different. It's how we get to know you and your car, explain things in a way you'll understand, and give you service and repair options that respect your budget. From routine maintenance like oil changes, tires, and brakes, to advanced engine diagnostics and major system repair. Come to Midas and see the difference Total Customer Care can make. People and prices you can trust. That's the Midas touch.
Since OnStar began, we've responded to over 100,000 automatic crash alerts.
OnStar emergency?
Yeah, I just got rear-ended by a semi. There could be injuries. There's a car underneath the semi. Please send an ambulance.
Okay, I will contact 911.
911.
This is OnStar emergency. There is a vehicle crash with injuries off of Interstate 5. The maximum reported Delta V is 16 miles per hour. I have 911 on the line.
Does anyone have any injuries?
I think I've got a concussion. I got drilled.
Okay, we have police and a medic coming to check you out.
With built-in automatic crash response, an OnStar advisor can use GPS technology to locate you and share crash details, which could help save your life.
This guy got lucky. His car is completely totaled underneath the semi, and where he was sitting was the only part that wasn't destroyed. The sheriff's department's on the scene.
I hope that everything will be okay with you.
I appreciate your help.
OnStar is standard for the first year on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides. And it's customizable so you can live life, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Sign up for free. Go to WeightWatchers.com and start today. Weight Watchers Online. Stop dieting. Start living. Sign up fee waived with purchase of 3-month savings plan. Automatically renews until you cancel. Hurry. Offer ends March 13th.
Tim Patton is engineering director for Boulder-based Micromotion and a graduate of the CU Executive MBA program.
Since I completed the CU Executive MBA program, I've become a more integral part of Micromotion. It's enabled me to see the big picture of the company and make better informed decisions about the direction we're going. My company sponsored me in the CU Executive MBA program. Maybe yours will too.
Go to colorado.edu/executive MBA or call 303-623-1888. 623-1888.
Their name is?
Sarah.
Sarah, that's right.
Try and relax, Dr. Gallagher.
You can help potential patients find me online, right?
Of course. At DexOne, we can give you a personalized online presence.
I like that.
We can also help you with print directories as well as internet and mobile search solutions.
I feel better already.
Wow, that wasn't so bad, was it, Dr. Gallagher?
No.
You were very brave.
Thank you.
DexOne. Marketing solutions. Business results. Take your business up a notch. Call 1-877-4DEX now.
I-21 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In studio with us is Stephen Hill, the author of the new book, 10 Years in the Making, Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. You can find the website for the book, europespromise.org. And there's been this talk and these questions about why America's economy is so different from Europe's. And we talked about what Europe does that we don't. It's got, and whether you want to call it socialized or not, it's got many more social welfare programs that you have argued really is making sure that capitalism is not just efficient, but is as productive in allocating wealth to the things that can continue sustaining wealth.
It's about supporting families, really. That's what it's for, families and individuals. In this age of globalized capitalism, people need to have certain support. And so you need to have health care. You need to have a university education or some sort of job training. You need to have a decent retirement. You need to be, if you're going to have a child, you need to be able to take care of that child. And so Europe puts supports around their families. They have family values that has money behind it instead of just rhetoric, in other words. That's what it's about.
And if we're going to open up the phones here. You can stay a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to open up the phones because I know people want to ask about this. 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. We'll try to take a couple of calls if we can.
about the difference between Europe and the United States. And I wonder why you think, historically and even today, why we are, our economies are so different. There's been an argument made that because the United States is more ethnically and racially diverse, that politically it's harder to pass the kinds of programs that Europe has passed. I'll put it really crassly. The idea being that because there's such racism in this country, it's hard to get, for instance, white voters to support, let's say, a universal health care program. We played a clip earlier on where that we from a while ago where a guy was saying, I don't want my tax money going to pay for essentially black people's health care. And is that one of the reasons? Is it we're more diverse than Europe, and Europe has less of that racism going on there, especially within some of their countries that have been, at least in the past, homogenous? Is that a big problem?
Integration of minorities is a problem in Europe, but I don't think that's the reason why we're so different, because even minorities in Europe have a lot access to a lot more than many Americans have access to in terms of health care. I mean, everybody in Europe has health care, whether you're a minority, an immigrant, what have you. And here we have 47 million people without health care, and all those 47 million are not people of color. I'm sorry. There's a lot of white people in this country who've lost their jobs, lost their health care, and they don't have health care. And I don't think some of the people...
No, obviously, it's not that only African Americans or only minorities would benefit from a national health care system in this country. It's more the idea that there's the thesis has been is that there's a racist undercurrent among the majority population, or what has been the majority population, that makes it harder to pass universal social programs, because the perception among that demographic, the majority demographic, is that my money will be taken away to give to, as Reagan called them, welfare queens.
Right. Well, that's certainly an issue. No
Why
question.
Does that sensibility not exist in Europe?
Well, I think, in the United States, we're a much more individual rights sort of country than they are in Europe. And there's a lot of historical reasons for why that is. But also after World War II, after the destruction of World Wars I and II, the leaders of Europe made a fundamental decision. They said, we're going to stop pouring all of our wealth into the military warring machines that our nations had been for centuries, and we're going to start putting it into our people. Interestingly, it was the conservative leaders of Europe that made that decision. People like Konrad Adenauer from Germany, Winston Churchill from Britain. They said, we just can't, this doesn't make any sense anymore. After centuries of war, we're going to do a different way. And in the United States, we have not yet made that decision. We pour a lot more money into our military than other countries do. Now, people say, well, Europe is a free rider on the United States military. And in the immediate post-World War II period, there's no question that was the case. They were able to build up their societies because we protected them in the Cold War. Flash forward to 2010, the threats in the world are quite different. The Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. Who are the enemies today? Is it Iran? Iran has a GDP the size of New Jersey's. Afghanistan, they have a GDP the size of Rhode Island's. These are not enemies, in a sense, on the order that the Soviet Union was, and yet we still, it's like our military budgets have hardly noticed.
And this is the thing that we rarely ever talk about in this country, about how big the military budget is, especially comparatively. We're getting some instant messages here, and so I want to move through these quickly if we can. We've got some calls as well we're going to try to get to. This is from a conservative who clearly does not like me. How come your guest, says Ken, is not mentioning the high cost of fuel and food in Europe? Do you really believe they have a higher standard of living than we have in the United States? And now he says, my mother is from Western Europe, from a Western European country that has been overrun by immigrants and will never be the same. Ken, your racism showing there a little bit, buddy. The Netherlands is an example of what will happen to us when the welfare state expands here. The last time I checked, more people are coming into this country than leaving. What does that tell you? When healthcare becomes a right, not something a lot of us have worked for, I think the results will be worse benefits for the people who have earned it and more for the slackers. A lot there. So I guess the first question is, does Europe really have a higher standard of living? And then the second question, it goes back to this cultural question of, are we all in it together, or are we all on our own?
Well, and in terms of standard of living, the United States has 14% people living below the poverty line. That's over 40 million people, compared to a country like France with 6%, the Netherlands and Denmark, which the emailer mentioned, you know, they're at 5% or less, Jeremy 5% or less. We have 20% child poverty in this country. 23% of seniors are in poverty in this country. It's the highest by far in the Western world except for Russia and Mexico. So in terms of standard of living, so I'm trying to say that somehow, I mean, I wonder if this person has ever been to Europe. Like, he says his mother's from Western Europe, but you can't go to Europe and say somehow these people are lacking, that they don't have a standard of living as equal to ours, even though, interestingly, their ecological footprint, as it's called, the amount of the world's resources they consume, is half of that of the United States, even though they do have the same standard of living.
Now, I've got to ask you this. I mean, tell us, I'll put you on the spot here. I mean, tell us some of the downsides. I mean, there's got to be a downside. Like, Europe... For as much as you're arguing here that it is a strong way forward and a model for us to look to, what downsides are there? I mean, let's stipulate that the way the right stereotypes Europe is just ridiculous. What are some of the challenges that Europe is really worried about right now based on its model?
Well, Europe faces the same challenges that we face in the United States. In fact, the world faces. In fact, the premise of the book is that there are two major challenges in the world today. One is, how do we identify the institutions and practices that are going to allow a planet, a burgeoning population of 6.5 billion people, to all live together? How do we allow the Chinas, the Indias, and the Brazils to come up in the world without burning up the planet in the process? So, Europe has to figure this out just like we do. And then internally they have issues certainly with integration of minorities, as we mentioned earlier. Europe is not as far along in that process as we are because they haven't been doing it for as long as we are. But you see now Europe recognizing it has a problem. They're spending billions of euros on different programs to foster integration. You know, who know? No one has the crystal ball that can predict how that's going to turn out. Europe also, in recent years, has had to adapt their economy. In some ways, they've adapted some of the things that the United States has done to make their economies more competitive. But it's interesting, they've shown themselves to be much more pragmatic about that and not so ideological. You know, they've sort of said, look, in the past we might have had bigger government, but that doesn't work anymore. We're going to trim government. We're going to free up our businesses to create more wealth and prosperity. And they've done that starting about 10 years ago. And then their economy started booming again. So they're much more pragmatic about adjusting these things and not being so stuck in the ideology of free markets. I mean, here we are still professing the idea of free markets when our banks just got bailed out by the government.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, they've socialized the losses and privatized the gains, and we still are trying to call that free market.
And we're still trying to call it small government. I know you got a guy, Glenn Beck, who gave a speech saying that he is against big government. The guy who advocated and said that the bailout, the Wall Street bailout, was not big enough. All right, up next, we're going to take a couple of your calls, 303-713-7600, about comparing the American model with the European model. And I'm going to ask Stephen Hill, the author of Europe's Promise, I'm going to ask him whether this has any cultural impact, whether we've been talking about this Jefferson County shooting down here, the string of shootings that have become almost a uniquely American problem, and we've been talking about whether that has to do with our attitude, our society's attitude, that we are all on our own, the me first, screw everybody else culture. Europe, does it have a different culture? Then we'll take your calls, 303-713-7600, after a traffic update with John Turk.
All right, Dave, traffic is really shaping up for us quickly this morning. No problems on 25 in and out of downtown. Our really only jams I'm looking at right now are on the turnpike eastbound between Wadsworth and Sheridan. That was due to an earlier accident. Westbounders hitting the brakes from Federal to Church Ranch. Patchy ice in the high country on I-70 between Copper Mountain and Vail. Also, some of the daily construction being set up. Right lane of westbound Colfax shut down at 225 for some removal of the asphalt there. Delays are possible. Also, single lane closures northbound Parker Road at Orchard for some paving. The forecast, mostly sunny to start. Afternoon clouds, but warm with highs in the upper 40s. Currently 37 right here in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver Health has a variety of job openings for registered nurses and health care providers. For more information, visit denverhealth.org. That's denverhealth.org. Denver Health, level one care for all. Denver Health is an equal opportunity employer.
This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides. And it's customizable so you can live life, learn to lose weight, and keep it off.
sign up for free. Go to WeightWatchers.com and start today. Weight Watchers online. Stop dieting. Start living. Sign up fee waived with purchase of 3-month savings plan. Automatically renews until you cancel. Hurry. Offer ends March 13th.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
M760.
Your spouse may have left you, but you still have rights. Learn about your rights and learn about how to get through a divorce with advice from the Talking Divorce team of experts. Talking Divorce, Sundays from 11 to noon, right here on AM 760.
I'm 934 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In studio again with us is Stephen Hill, the author of Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. You can find the website for his book, europespromise.org. It's a book 10 years in the making. And we've been talking this morning about the school shooting down in Jefferson County and asking the deeper question, why has this become a uniquely, or a, if not uniquely, then a than an almost uniquely American phenomenon. Random violence, not premeditated violence, not I've got a grudge kind of violence, just a guy walks into a school, shoots up a couple kids. You do have a couple of examples of this in Europe every now and then, but usually it has something to do with a grudge. Usually it's not so random. Clearly, America's violent crime and this particularly random shootings like this, much higher prevalence here in the United States than in other industrialized countries. Why do you think that is through the prism of your research on Europe? I mean, is it our criminal justice system? Is it that we have so many guns here? What differences between Europe and the United States may account for this?
Well, I think there's a few. I mean, first, in terms of this particular instance, as I understand it, this was an individual who needed psychological medications, yes. Was not able to get them. So in Europe, you're able to get your medications. You know, the idea of not being able to pay for your medications is really not usually an issue. But beyond that, I think there is, in the United States, much more of a culture of violence. You see it in our TV shows. You see it in our sports. I mean, you know, our American football is a much more violent sport than, for example, European football, which is what we call soccer. And again, after World War II, you had a renouncing of violence, of military violence.
Right, because some people are going to say, I was going to say, some people would say to you, would hear you say that Europe doesn't have a culture of violence, and they would think about, you know, Nazi Germany.
Right, exactly. And so in some ways, they took violence to its ultimate extreme, and at that point, there was a huge movement saying, never again. And then they began creating the institutions around that attitude and those values.
Like what institutions?
Well, like putting their wealth into things like health care, retirement, more vacation time, all these sorts of things.
Let's talk about their criminal justice system. Step away from health care.
Yeah.
Are they more focused on rehabilitating people than we are? I mean, that's a big debate that's about to happen in this country and in this state, by the way, about what our criminal justice system currently does, lock the door, throw away the key, and what maybe some people say it should be doing, focusing more on rehabilitation. Where does Europe come down on that?
I'm not familiar with every country in Europe, but the ones I am familiar with do have more rehabilitation programs. Some of them are fairly impressive, but in some ways it's easier to do there because they don't have as many people in prison. The United States has an incarceration rate that's 7 to 10 times that of European countries, depending on the country. And so, you know, when you have a smaller population, it's not as huge amount of your resources going into first incarcerating them and secondly giving them rehabilitation. So, you know, it's sort of a chicken or egg sort of thing. There's no question that, Europe is not perfect in any way. They have crime. They have violence, but they don't have nearly as much of it as we have here in the United States.
That's undeniable. All right, we're going to go to the phones, 303-713-7600. And if you want to instant message us questions, AM760.net, click over to the David Sirota page. In studio with us, Stephen Hill, his new book, Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. This follows our discussion about that debate over do we live in a me-first, screw-everyone-else culture, not a culture of community. How has that played into violent crime, especially asking that question after the Jefferson County shooting? We'll go to the phones now if you've got questions. We'll take them in the order that they receive. Keep them short so we can fit as many as we can in as possible. Sean in Boulder. Sean, fire away.
Hello, David.
Hi there.
Hey, good morning. Hi, thanks for the conversation. That's excellent. My question is concerning after World War II and the Marshall Plan. Wasn't it the United States and the Allies who kind of put in place these social safety nets initially? You know, they evolved, of course, after that. But weren't these great programs initially our idea?
No, they weren't necessarily our idea, because Europe had been doing the seeds of them prior to World Wars I and II. In fact, in Germany, the social democracy, as they call it over there, was started in the late 19th century. But there's no question that the Allied powers, with Americans leading that, were very supportive of these sorts of things. In fact, interestingly, one of the things I love to tell Americans about is that German corporations, for example, 50% of the boards of directors of major corporations, so Siemens, BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen, Deutsche Telekom, 50% of their board members are elected by the workers.
In their corporate charter. I mean, that's like
that's in their law. That's in German their law.
What I mean is, as a consequence of forming a corporation in Germany, big or
that's
small,
right. You have to allow your workers to elect 50% of the board members. It would be as if Walmart had to allow 50% of its board members to be elected. Now, the interesting thing was that the Allied powers were very encouraging of this, because they wanted to disperse German concentrations of wealth that had been used by German industrialists to support the Nazis. So it was interesting how they were very aware of what the power of institutional design can do and how it can affect the society for years to come. And so Germany did that first. Then Sweden has done it. Many countries now in Europe do this, in which the workers electing board members.
And this is exactly what right-wingers say. That's Euro-socialism. Workers control the means of production.
But they don't control it. They have a say. It's called consultation. It means the employers and the employees are in extensive consultation with each other over all the conditions.
I'm for it. I think that what's lost is you've got conservatives here in this country who say, oh, that's workers owning the means. That's Marxist. Workers own the means of production. It's not true.
Keep in mind what I said beyond that. These are capitalist countries.
These are
Fortune 500 companies than we have here in the United States. Small businesses.
These are not companies that don't do well. These are big multinational corporations that are.
This is capitalism, baby. Right. It's what I call in the book social capitalism. And what we have in the United States is what I call Wall Street capitalism. And that's the key difference. Social capitalism versus Wall Street capitalism.
Yeah, and I think people are starting to ask those questions now. And so remember, folks, when you tune in, when you flip around the radio dial and you hear certain people who I've debated on this show talk about Euro-socialism, you know who I'm talking about. Remember what's really going on there. All right, we'll go to another call. Let's go to, let's see who's been holding the longest. Bert in Boulder. Bert, you're on AM760.
Hey, great conversation this morning. And I kind of have to change what I was going to talk about, which had to do with the wars in Europe and the humility that they've learned, and also the proximity to other countries and how much they learned from that. But really what I want to focus on is the notion of these shootings that we've had. If you think back 30 years ago, we didn't have them, but maybe once every year or maybe twice. Now we have them once every couple of weeks. The main things to me have to do with mental health issues. Remember, when someone does one of these shootings, none of their mental health records are reported. Also, in the 80s, we gutted the mental health system. We make our people wait a year, even if they have dramatic conditions, without any assistance. We don't have nearly the access to the medications. Also, we have in our schools 35 to 40 kids in a class these days, which doesn't give the teachers the time to single out the kids who need the most help, so we're not detecting them as much. Subsequently, these days, unlike 30 years ago, we have a massive problem with these people who have serious mental illness, who haven't gotten the help they needed, and now they're going off left and right. Now, of course, there's the depersonalization element of our society also, which means that there are less people around them later to find the help they need through friends and that kind of thing, or to get them to the mental health facility.
Well, you know, so I think you can attribute this in some ways. You can bring it down to one thing, and it's inequality. And then there's a new book out, and darn, I wish I could remember the name of it, but it's by a couple of researchers. We have all these graphs in them showing how countries around the world, their levels of inequality, and then other things that can be attributed to inequality, and mental health and violence are certainly one of them. There's a direct correlation between the more inequality you have in your society, the more mental health illness, and the more violence you're going to have in your society.
And there's way less inequality, just as a matter of mathematics, the statistics in Europe than there is here.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you have 14% of Americans living below the poverty line. That's about 40 million people compared to France at 6% and Germany at 5%. 10% of Americans own 70% of the wealth compared to a country like Germany where the upper 10% owns 44% of the wealth, and that's true throughout Europe. So, you know, again, this is not an accident. There are institutions and there are practices that you can adopt, that Americans can adopt, that would address these very issues. It's a matter of political issue and a matter of political vision. So we have to know that there are things like co-determination, other ways to do healthcare out there other than what we're doing now.
Let's take one more call if we can. Let's go to Jimmy in Arvada. Jimmy, you're on AM 760.
Yes, sir. I just think it's hilarious that you guys talk about this populism in Europe, control of the companies, et cetera, to your side of the aisle. But you refuse to tie that to the fact that they haven't had an increase in standard of living in 30 years. I make $70,000 a year. I live in a 2,500 square foot house with three fridges. They don't have that in Europe.
Okay. Well, let's look at that. Some people in Europe do have that, maybe not the 2,500 square foot house because they tend to have smaller houses. But in Europe, they've made a conscious decision that, you know, we are living in the era, if you believe in it, of global climate change, global warming, and that that some of the standards of living that everyone has enjoyed in the Western societies is not necessarily sustainable anymore. And the fact is, the average American has twice as much carbon emissions, uses twice as much electricity, our toilets flush more water, our cars use 40% more fuel to go a mile as a European car, on and on and on. And as a result of this, you know, our ecological footprint, as I mentioned earlier in the United States, is twice that of Europe, over four times that in China and India and other countries.
And let me interject here for one second. And Jimmy, you're still with us. What I would say to you is that you have given our audience a very, very good taste of what the me first, screw everybody else culture really is about. Going on a radio show to brag that you have three refrigerators. I mean, how much do you, and I'm assuming you don't ask yourself a question about how much energy you use. I wonder what you would say in response to what Stephen Hill has just offered you.
I'm not making the conscious choice to live with less. At least you guys can be honest with your audience and tell people you want them to have less of the standard of living. That's why you want to.
I guess, it depends what you qualify as a standard of living. Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, in terms of the basic necessities, in terms of and one thing that we never talk about, by the way, rarely ever talked about in comparing the United States and Europe is, what about leisure time? Right. What about, I mean, there is this whole discussion that American workers are more productive. But Paul Krugman, for instance, wrote a column a couple of years ago saying that it's actually that American workers are actually forced to work longer hours for lower wages. Europe has chosen to take one of its quote unquote standards of living is actually having family time and leisure time.
Exactly. It really depends on how you define quality of life, standard of living. And if you define it by having three refrigerators, you know, what you need to have three refrigerators for, I'm not quite sure. You know, certainly other people are defining it differently. But the point is that in this era of global climate change, I think that the world is, I mean, you look at what happened in Copenhagen, where Obama showed up and basically had nothing to offer because he couldn't match Europe's offer of lowering carbon emissions by 30%. And it's because Americans haven't quite grappled with this, and we're going to have to grapple with it if we're going to be. And because we didn't grapple with it, China said, "Well, if America's not going to change their ways, we don't need to change our ways."
Absolutely. All right, let's take one last call if we can squeeze it in real quick. Bertha in Aurora. Bertha, you got about 20 seconds. Fire away.
Hi, I would just say most of our customers are the global pharmaceutical companies, so we spend a lot of time in Europe visiting them. Someone had complained once, if we get universal health care, won't that damage our pharmaceutical companies? Well, I said most of our customers are companies that have locations in Sweden and Denmark and UK and France and Germany, all these so-called socialized medicine countries, and they're doing just fine. We have no problem with that. Also, the social standard of living, I was going to say, one thing people have is people live close to what they need, their groceries, their food. So they spend a lot of time. They walk to where they go to get their groceries. They're not spending an hour and a half on the roads in their nice cars trying to get from home and to work every day. I've been there several times. Only twice have I had to rent a car to get around to my meetings. The rest of the time, I've been able to take buses or trains.
It's a very good point, so. Bertha. And I've heard, and very quickly here, Stephen Hill, again, the author of Europe's Promise. I have heard that when you fly over Germany, you sort of see it's like the city ends in many places and the rural area begins. And this is a product of urban planning that says we can't be as sprawly anymore because of the energy impact. Is that really what's going on? Have they done one thing? Are they focused on more is urban planning?
Well, urban planning and just planning in general, but it's not in any way that, again, strangles their economies, which is the myth you hear. It's about just sensible planning and not being so ideological in their beliefs. They're pragmatic about how are we going to create a society that works for our businesses, works for our families, works for our individuals, works for our communities. That's really what they're more serious about than we have been in the United States.
Again, the book is Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope in an Insecure Age. It's 10 years in the making. The author is Stephen Hill. The website, europespromise.org. Stephen Hill, thanks for being in studio with us.
David, it's been my great pleasure.
Really appreciate it. All right, up next, 949 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, how you can help push the bill in the legislature to crack down right here in the big fight against payday lending. There's a big call to action. We're going to check in with somebody leading the campaign for that legislation. Yes, there is something that you can do. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic is back in shape for us in the 50s and 60s on most of the major highways around town. We do have some construction on Colfax, westbound side near 225, some asphalt removal there. Same deal, northbound Parker Road at Orchard, and on got a single lane closure on the ramp from southbound I-25 to westbound Arapahoe Road. That causes some problems there on the freeway as well. Forecast today, mostly sunny to start. Partly cloudy this afternoon, high of 49, right now 39 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you sell your gold through the mail to some out-of-town stranger, you're getting ripped off. Take it to Fast Cash, and you'll get 40% more in cash and on the spot. Want to get what your gold's really worth? Get a quote from Fast Cash before you sell. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
Do you really think all batteries are the same, or do you think one stands out from the rest? The Duracell Copper Top. And while you get what you pay for, usually holds true. Now with Duracell, you can actually get more than you pay for. Because now the most popular packs of our AA and AAAs give you 20% more batteries for the same price. After all, when it comes to good value, it just has to work. Always reliable, always efficient. Duracell Smart Power. Trusted everywhere.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
We'll be right back.
952 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We were talking earlier in the week about legislation in the Colorado legislature to move to the ballot, a ballot initiative that would crack down on payday lenders and institute a top interest rate. Interest rates are in the news again this week. Monday was the first day of those new federal rules cracking down on interest rates and on credit card abuses. But we've got this battle brewing in state, and joining us now is Carlos Valverde of the Colorado Progressive Coalition, the group that is helping lead the fight for this legislation in the legislature. It's a big fight. And, Carlos, you were telling me earlier, or at least Jason McCain from Colorado Progressive Coalition was, that there is actually a way for people to get really directly involved in this fight, and that, in fact, we need people to get involved in this fight. Tell us what's going on.
That's right, David. We believe that all Coloradans should have access to reasonable credit that doesn't put them in a cycle of debt, but rather builds their future. And so we are working on this bill, and it would be a referendum to the ballot. But we know that the payday lenders have hired nearly 134 lobbyists to kill this bill before voters even have a chance to vote on it. So we're encouraging folks to call their legislators at the state capitol to encourage them to support this bill. We have five Democrats right now in the House of Representatives that have not confirmed their support. These folks is its lowest court here in the Denver metro area. Jim Rice, who represents Littleton, Greenwood Village area. Debbie Benefield, who represents sort of the Westminster, Stanley Lake area. And Jim Reisberg, who represents Greeley and Evans. And then there's a handful of other Democrats who are sort of leaning yes, but haven't quite confirmed their commitment. And so we're encouraging your callers, folks, to let their legislators know that they support reasonable interest rates on payday loans.
Give us those names again. We got Reisberg and Greeley. We got Joe Rice from Littleton. We got Lois Court from Denver.
Debbie Benefield from Westminster.
Okay, and there's one other, right?
And then I would like to also mention Nancy Todd. She's a maybe leaning yes right now. We'd like to just get a few calls into her and let her know this is the right thing to support, and she represents Aurora.
So, again, if you're interested in cracking down on the worst abuses, call. These are the key legislators. We linked to an earlier story on our website at Colorado Polls, which lists these legislators. You can find it on our website, am760.net. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Carlos. Is there a hearing coming up on this week?
It's not going to be this week. There was the hearing committees were packed. The agendas are full. And so we're looking at possibly next week or the week after that. We also know that medical marijuana will be heard next week, so we may get pushed another week. So we're not clear on the timeline yet. But you know, let me give you the number to the Capitol, and you can just patch through to people for that Capitol number. It's 303-866-2904. 2904, and you can just ask the operator to speak to your legislator.
Give it again.
303-866-2904.
303-866-2904. Call your legislator today. And if people want to find more information about the campaign for this and be updated on when this hearing may or may not happen, give us your website at the Colorado Progressive Coalition.
Sure. It's www.progressivecoalition.org. We're also looking for folks to testify at this hearing. So we're looking for former employees of payday lenders. We know they have some outrageous practices that they force their employees to do. We know that they're paying employees to show up at these hearings. They're offering free loans to customers to come and testify about how great their product is. So we would like to combat that with some former employees who can tell what's really going on behind the doors. And we're also looking for people who have been caught in this debt trap by taking out payday loans. So they're welcome to send us an email or give us a call. Our phone number here at the office is 303-867-0302.
Carlos Valverde of the Colorado Progressive Coalition, again, progressivecoalition.org. It's good to talk to you. Keep us posted on this issue, okay?
Hey, Dave, thanks for covering it.
All right, my pleasure. Take care. 956 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Just a couple more stories I want to fill you in on before we get out of here for the day. 68 lawmakers now, according to the national, according to a Reuters story, 68 congressional lawmakers were informed of the CIA's waterboarding techniques. You're going to see a whole lot of CYA going on.
right? You're going to see a whole lot after this revelation. You're going to see a whole lot of politicians claiming, oh, I didn't know, I didn't read the memo, I wasn't really told, a lot of finger pointing is going to happen. But just so you, in case you're wondering whether Congress had been complicit in torture, that's the new report just coming off the wire right now. Also, I love this story. Local billboard company rejects ad with puppet cleavage. This is from the Colorado Springs Gazette. I tell you something, it's like everything you read about Colorado Springs of late. It's like it gets crazier and crazier. This is almost too crazy. I'm reading from the Colorado Springs Gazette here. You think it's not easy being green? Try being a pink Muppet-like character in the touring off-Broadway show Avenue Q. Lamar Advertising recently rejected a bus shelter advertisement that would have revealed the character Lucy the Slut's furry pink cleavage. And so the billboard company banning puppet cleavage. I tell you something. The fact that it's coming out of Colorado Springs, I guess I can't say I'm surprised. I really guess I can't say I'm surprised, although it still is surprising. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to get into a discussion about Governor Ritter cutting state employee pensions. Is that a violation of their contract? It's a bigger discussion about what you and your employer, what the obligations are between you and your employer. Should we be cutting pensions, or are pensions a guarantee that should be inviolable? And also, we'll fill you in a little bit more about this effort in the legislature to move to less jail time and more rehab in drug policy. We're continuing our discussion about whether we want to live in a me-first, screw-everybody-else culture, or whether we want to start living in a culture that values community. I think it's an inherent part of these shootings that are happening, and I think it's worth having the discussion, even if it's difficult. One last call for alcohol, so finish
your whiskey or beer. This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides. And it's customizable so you can live life, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Sign up for free. Go to